Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. By Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By RP Lumber. Best service, best value. By Yem Auto Group on North Henderson and Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. And by Clear Sound Hearing in Galesburg and Monmouth, providing innovative hearing solutions. Set an appointment for a free evaluation and hear what you've been missing. Now, the WGIL broadcast team, Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, and Jake Miller with Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Welcome to Galesburg High School football here on WGIL. 2 minutes past 8 o'clock, more than an hour after the scheduled kickoff. So thanks for hanging in there with us. Thanks for sticking around, and we hope to bring you, well, as you heard Assistant Coach Matt Hawkins say, nobody thinks that the Streaks can win this game, so we hope to bring you a part of a big, big upset that'll send some shockwaves throughout the Western Big Six Conference. Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey with you from the press box, Will Stevenson from the downtown studios, and as always, on the sideline, across the field from us in the muggy conditions. But as we talked about the field conditions earlier, if you weren't with us earlier in our pregame, natural grass, long grass, thick grass, and again, unusual night weather-wise, Jake, out in the elements for early to mid-October.
Yeah, you got a little bit of a haze going across the field right now, but there's no wind to speak of. It, the only weather condition to speak of as far as affecting the game is our only time of the year on a natural surface, and it's just wet. It's wet, it's going to be slower, and it's got to be something. You know, these kinds of teams don't have the ability to switch out cleats in between series like we see in college teams and you know, in pro teams. So, you know, we got what we brought. Both teams are playing on it, so the Streaks have won the toss. They have deferred, so we will be kicking off to Moline, and we'll get the ball back in the second. Start the second half.
Matthew Bailey ready to receive this opening kickoff, standing deep at his own 10-yard line. The up men are Chase Stevens and Cranston Wall, and Sam Satiski continues to hold down the kicking duties for the Silver Streaks after the back injury to John Wren that he just hasn't completely recovered from, and Satiski's done a tremendous job. Both soccer players. And as a sophomore, he stepped right in for the senior and got those three big field goals and all the extra point attempts that he had. And every single point mattered in that game. Was our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game last week. And getting a little extra word of advice from the official as he plops the ball down on the tee.
Yeah, we got a east-west field here at Moline.
That's
you
right.
You haven't been here before, so the Streaks will be kicking in the direction going to the east. We'll obviously switch that around here at the start of the second quarter. Again, you know, the only advantage, the scoreboard is in the west side of the field. There aren't any, you know, game clocks out to see the play clock stuff. So it is what it is, and we're getting ready to kick this thing off.
Silver Streaks 2-2 in the conference, trying to knock the Moline Maroons from the ranks and the unbeaten. And a slow line drive kick. Sails inside the 10-yard line, scooped up there by Bailey, stops behind a man, cuts back toward the middle, slips through one tackle, and then wrapped up just across the 20-yard line and pushed backwards. And the Maroons will have it somewhere in the vicinity of the 20, maybe just across the 20 to get this game started. And even watching his run back, it just seemed a little, yeah, little deliberate almost as he was trying to find his footing.
Yeah, and you'll have to forgive us tonight on we're going to be guessing catching some of these yard lines on where the football is because it's hard to see out here with the painted surface.
Yeah, the hash marks are hard to see. We're going to be kind of guessing a little bit to where it is in its place. Even the yard markers, you know, the 20, 30, 40, 50s are very small and worn out as well.
So out of the gun, they're going to go with not their usual starting quarterback. It's actually A.J. Jones, a sophomore, who starts the game for the Maroons. Not Alec Ponder, who we spent a little bit of time talking about in the pregame, and they keep it on the ground for a gain of just a yard, running left up to the 22.
No speculation as to why that is. There's been some things that have been floated around, but right now, not the number two passer in the Big Six that's at the helm right now, so probably a run-heavy offense that we're going to see coming at us.
So they kept it out of the backfield. Mason Woods runs out of the backfield. He lines up to the left, coming
overload
up under center. The Streaks are going to show a little blitz, rolling to the right side and getting to the outside is Pablo Perez. And he gets a first down across the 30, up to about the 32-yard line, picked up enough to just get past the first down marker, and they move the chains.
It looked like
Belly.
It's Belly to the right side. There was a tight end on the right side of their formation with a wing back over there, almost like an overload set. But they were able to – they ran Belly the first play to no success, but the right side, they found good success there.
Perez needed 9. He got exactly 9. First down at the 31-yard line. Maroons, again, winners of 4 straight to open up the Western Big Six Conference with 3 to go as they try to secure that automatic playoff bid with the conference championship. Again on the ground, Perez running left this time. He's forced to the inside, and he still gets a first down, battling his way across the 40, mushing defenders forward, getting the legs down low and keeping him moving, and he picks up 11 to the 42.
Sean, looks like a little wrinkle defensively here for the Streaks. An odd front is what it looks like from my side, with Hunter Davina playing straight up Mike linebacker at the same level as Kenan Klein and Damian Thomas.
You want to talk about that Mike linebacker in case our listeners, because that's a term that's a little more used
middle
these days.
It just means middle.
Middle.
You got Mike, Sam, and Will.
Handoff on the ground. They're going to go left this time. And the carry goes to Perez again. And he crosses the 45, stopped at the 47-yard line for a pickup of about 6.
Okay, so one of the Streaks just threw a shoe off to the sideline. So do we have a guy out there? Oh, it was a Moline player shoe.
Keep away. We're playing keep away now.
Like that.
I was wondering if we were playing without a shoe here.
Well played.
Yeah, the officials are going to call timeout. Give him a chance to put that thing on.
I like it. I like the strategy. Somebody's thinking out there tonight.
Did you see who was it through, Jake? That's fantastic.
I didn't see it through it. I just saw it flying towards the sideline.
Your shoe here. Go get it.
Yep.
Ball spotted just short. Streaks creeping up on the line of scrimmage. They're going to keep it on the ground and slipping and falling in the backfield is Woods as he tried to cut. Now he's kicking his foot on the ground. And I guess they're going to spot him pretty much right where the original mark was. So that's pretty generous just to even get him back. So it'll be third and about 4 here. Tried that cut, and it just wasn't there once his foot went out from underneath him. Third and 4. Ball spotted at the 48-yard line, just short of midfield from under center. Still on the ground. Perez bounces to the outside, first down to the Galesburg 40. Pushed out of bounds to the 38-yard line, and a flag comes in as Davina makes the tackle on Perez out of bounds with the play pretty well over. And that's going to tack on 15 more, taking it down to the 23-yard line.
Jake, you're right on that. It's overload, and we're not seeing any movement by our guys up front. So we're still running an odd front. We have 3 guys there. That means we're going to have a zero technique over the center. When we have an overload, they have an extra guy to, in this case, it was our defensive right. And when we put our nose and we stay in that zero technique, head up on the center, and then we go an extra gap wider with our next end lineman, they have a huge gap there. So hopefully we can identify that better. And maybe that's the plan that we want to have, 2 backers that are going to be in there. But, you know, when you have no lineman, this is something Matt Hawkins talked about in the pregame, that our linemen need to occupy blocks to keep the offensive linemen off our backers so the backers can flow and play. And if they're getting a free release to our backers, it's going to be a long night.
8:51 to go, opening quarter, opening drive of the game. Moline down to the Galesburg 24 after the 15-yard personal foul penalty. On the ground, Woods cuts up the middle, slips through some defenders inside the 20 down to the 19-yard line for a pickup of 5 more. And it'll be 2nd and 5 as Moline efficiently moving into the Galesburg red zone.
So there I see the Silver Streaks adjust to that overload, and we do get penetration in the backfield, unable to make the tackle there as he's able to get a good, you know, a good 3-yard gain, 4-yard gain.
Yeah, our adjustment was to bring an outside linebacker to the weak side, and then everybody moved down, which should be a technique, not necessarily a gap, but it should be a technique.
2nd and 5 from the Galesburg 19. Handoff on the ground again. Perez spinning inside down to the 15-yard line where his forward progress is stopped. very close to a first down. I think it'll be about a half yard short. It'll be third and a yard in two down territory.
Good tackle coming up and filling there was Noah Wright to make that tackle, to not allow that guy to continue to work his way outside. There was some room there, but Noah did a good job closing it down.
Eight running plays.
No attempt at passing the football right now. I don't see Bailey out on the field. We don't see the starting quarterback out on the field.
Two tight end set. Two running backs, again on the ground. Perez leans into the Silver Streaks defender and pushes the Streaks forward, still on his
still
feet,
going.
Battles inside the 10-yard line, and finally the whistle blows, and he works his way all the way down to the 8. Perez just refused to give up, and he picks up 7 out of it.
Streaks defensive leader, Damian Thomas, had his helmet knocked off there, so he's going to have to come off the field here in a goal-to-goat situation. Obviously, we'll get him right back out there. Nothing wrong, but high school rules.
Yep.
That thing comes off, you got to come sit for a play.
And that helmet was about 10 yards away from the tackle that he was involved in. So
yeah,
he lost that somewhere, and he said, I'm going to keep going. I like the motor.
10th play of the drive, first and goal, Moline from the Galesburg 8. Play fake, handoff to Woods. Big steam into the end zone. Moline scores on the opening drive with 7:07 to go in the opening quarter. 8-yard touchdown run, Mason Woods. Maroons strike first, just as they have been doing in pretty much all of their conference games up to this point.
Yeah, no Ponder, no Bailey, no problem right here for Moline as they just efficiently march this thing down and just not doing anything complicated out there. Just kind of pounding the rock.
Extra point from Caroline Hazen, who's also the homecoming queen. Inside the left uprights, 7-0 Moline. We're just underway. Kind of like a half inning gone in baseball. Silver Streaks chance to put some points on the board when we come back. Trailing 7-0 on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Staying at home more than you'd like these days? Let RP Lumber help you make your home your happy place. With our best service, best value promise, we can set you up with all the tools, hardware, and advice you need to spruce up your space. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by local State Farm agent John Hawkinson, offering home, auto, and life policies to fit your budget and lifestyle. By Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg.
Tune in for Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays at 2 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
7-0 Moline, 7:07 to go in the opening quarter. The Maroons take it 79 yards in 10 plays, 4 minutes 53 seconds off the clock. Some scores to give you in the Western Big Six. Sterling in a high-scoring affair, 5:23 to go first half, leading Rock Island 28-21. Moline leading 7-0 here. Quincy with a 3-0 lead over Geneseo at the end of the first quarter in that game. And Kewaunee rolling over Mendota 49-0 still in the first half of that game.
Congratulations, Coach Swanson. Keep that rolling.
5-yard penalty assessed against the Silver Streaks. He made contact with kicker Caroline Hazen's leg. So she'll kick off from the 45. And the Streaks' first attempt to get the ball and try to snap that Moline shutout streak, which has gone for 13 quarters. Waiting for the referee to blow the whistle. There it is. Now she can kick it away. Aguirre deep for the Silver Streaks, along with Marcus Lewis. It'll be taken short at the 21-yard line. Trying to bounce to the outside. Mikey Eicher slips tackles, works his way back to the middle of the field. Had a couple of guys to beat, but Woods among the players for Moline to wrap him up, along with Grant Raber. If Eicher slips those tackles, he may go for the distance, but instead he stopped at the 32, and not a bad return.
Well, we did see this happen last year, as I think it was at Alex, that Alex ran back a kickoff against them last year. Moline effectively covers a kick with 10 players because
the kicker
usually kicks it, grabs the tee, and she runs off the sideline, as she should. And so, you know, a little bit of an advantage, but how many times do you see the kicker actually make the play? You break those tackles. There's nobody back there to force them out.
First down, Silver Streaks. First play from scrimmage here from the 31. Moline scored on its opening drive. Streaks will try to answer, trailing by a touchdown. Out of the gun. to start things off. The handoff to Aguirre running left goes nowhere. He'll lose a yard on first down as thought he was tackled behind the 30. And that is where they're going to spot it, just short.
Yep.
No, they're actually going to put the nose of the football on the 30. I think that's generous, but we'll take it. A loss of a yard.
Streaks still tonight without Alex Egypsiaco, right? The normal starting running back who I thought I saw trying to come out, you know, at the beginning of the before their game started, trying to move and see if he was going to be able to go. I see him down here not in pads, so it's going to be a no-go for Alex tonight.
Coach Blackwell said he was going to try. Obviously, it's not healthy enough. Aguirre tries to get to the outside. Good pursuit, slips the tackle, and then gets up to the 32-yard line to pick up three, but then the stop made there. Noah Harrison on the initial stop. It'll be a pickup. Well, we'll call it two. It'll be third and nine.
Well, it looks to me, like Jake, you can see it too, that the success that we had in the past couple of weeks off tackle, it really looks like Moline is ready for that. It seems like their linebacker is a little bit wider in anticipation for some of the off-tackle plays that we have. And once Cam got through the first level, so to speak, there was a linebacker right in his face there.
We've talked about the Silver Streak struggles converting on third down, less than 34% on the season, and this is third and long, third and nine from their own 32. Out of the gun, Legate back to pass, complete, and then through the hands of Dre Egypsiaco. He was right there, came back for it, open for it, and it went right through his fingers. Would have been a first down at the 45. And we got whistles back behind the play, but I don't see a flag anywhere.
He stopped the clock. The clock may have been running on the incomplete pass.
Oh, that could be. That could be. Well, wet ball maybe a little bit on that one. Just went right through his fingers.
Well, and he slipped coming out of his cut.
Yep.
So did the defender. Which, you know, if Dre was able to keep his footing, that would have been perfect because he had separation with the corner.
Bailey bobbles it as he's back to receive the punt.
Nice.
Corrals
play.
It. And then an open field tackle made right just short of the 35-yard line. Is that Lewis who took him down?
Was it? I can't see the number yet.
20.
20?
Yeah, Marcus Lewis.
Nice open field tackle.
It was.
Solo tackle, well done.
Held on.
Yep.
So the Streaks cannot convert a first down on their opening possession. Moline will take over. Ball spotted at the 34 with 5:19 to go in the opening quarter, already leading 7-0.
Marcus Lewis giving up about 2 feet and, I don't know, 75 to 100 pounds to the returner there, making a great open field tackle.
Yeah, Hart. They'll take it any night.
All right.
Ponder back
in at quarterback after not starting the opening series. The sweep play to the outside, and Riley Fuller gets his first carry of the night, and good pursuit by the Silver Streaks holds him to a gain of about three. So a little personnel change.
Sure.
Some guys who weren't out there on the opening series. Again, we won't speculate too much. There were some rumors going around school about some things that may have been happening at Moline, and anything that may have been happening is not a factor anymore because the main guys are out there now. Second down, Fuller again on the ground. Runs right up the middle. He'll be about 2 yards short of the first down on a pickup of four more. So third and two upcoming as we wind under 4.5 minutes to go in the opening quarter. Again, a late start here tonight. The freshman game went long. 46-24 the final as the Streaks fell in that one. Then there was homecoming introductions to be made, so we didn't get a 7 o'clock kickoff underway until 8:02 tonight. Third and two, Moline. Streaks need a big stop here. Already trailing by a touchdown. Little movement on the defensive side. No flags. They get the handoff up the middle for room to run. A first down for Moline, crossing the 50 into Galesburg territory. The stop made at the 47-yard line. Fuller, three straight runs and a first down.
Yeah, finding some success up the middle. We've seen them mostly on the edges tonight. There Moline is able to kind of put their foot in the ground and get up the middle. Streaks are blitzing linebackers. We see Cannon being very active right now. And it's, you know, it's kind of a gamble sometimes when you do that. You take guys out, take guys out of the play if you don't guess right.
From the Galesburg 47-yard line, 3:35 to go in the opening quarter. Fake handoff, and the second man through drops it, and a scramble for it back at the 50-yard line, and I think Noah Harrison was able to fall on it as the handoff was made from Ponder to Harrison and a misconnection between the two of them. But Harrison does recover for Moline, and they'll lose 3 yards on the play. It'll be second and 13.
That play there, we call that, Jake, was a counter crisscross. We'd fake a sweep one direction, and then we have a guy in motion that comes back. So anytime that you have a player that goes against the formation after the ball is snapped, the backside player's got to be yelling counter because that ball's coming. Otherwise, that guy's going to be blocking play side. He has no reason to be cutting back against the flow of the play. So that's the counter all the way. I don't know if we had that played well or not. Pass.
Second and long, play fake. Rolling left, Ponder. Pursuit from the backside off to throw across his body. Flag in the receiving area where the catch is made for a first down by Colin Schultz to the Galesburg 36-yard line. 2 yards past the marker and a flag down.
Well, they're going to catch. I think they're going to catch Javion with a little defensive holding. I don't know if they'll take the penalty.
Yep, there it is. Yep, there's the hold.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll take the penalty. They'll probably take the result of the play.
Yep, they do. It was declined already.
Yep.
Because the result of the play is a first down.
Correct.
Actually going to spot it right at the 15-yard line. First pass play of the game for Ponder. Again, back in there after not starting the game.
Brad, who had that reception for them?
Colin Schultz. So first down. Well, they are going to spot it back at the 36 after all. 2:28 and counting in the opening quarter. Moline trying to add to a 7-0 lead. Streak showing blitz. There's penetration in the backfield and nowhere to go for Fuller. Perfectly run by the guy who was blitzing, and that was Damian Thomas, who finished him off for a loss back to the 40.
Said it before, the number one thing that kills misdirection play is going to be penetration, and we blitzed right into that. We had Damian Thomas coming through, and a blitz came through untouched right into the handoff. So a good call there. Nice defensive play. Good job, Streaks.
Loss of 4 on the play.
Seeing some adjustments, too, linebacker-wise. Hunter DeVita no longer in the middle of the field. Back up on the edges of the formations where we have been seeing him play a little bit more often. So, you know, an adjustment. It's a chess game, right? And Coach Blackwell trying to move some guys around, put guys in better spots.
And DeVita lined up on the right side of the Galesburg defense.
Pass.
And back to pass off the back foot. Man-to-man coverage. A deflection, and then it falls incomplete. Beckham in man-to-man coverage with Schultz again, and both players going up for the ball. There was a little bit of a tip. Cam McGuire had a little bit of a chance of maybe getting it on the deflection. Instead, it's just incomplete, and third and 13.
You know, Brad, why I asked about who that player was, because he's 6'5" going against Beckham, who's 5'11". So, two plays ago, Schultz won it. This play, Javion won it. So.
Yep, nice to have Javion back. I tell you what, Ponder got greedy there because he went for his deep receiver, which is where Javion was. He had two underneath receivers, both open, that he could have gone to. But luckily, he goes to the one guy that we were covering on that route.
And throwing off his back foot, too. Yes. Timeout by Moline with a minute 33 to go in this opening quarter. Thanks to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation to Moline tonight. And Jake, I didn't even ask you. I was a little flustered. Honestly, I was flustered when you picked me up. My mind was elsewhere. I was frustrated, and so I did not focus on the car. So I'm counting on you to give us the details
okay,
here.
Okay, yeah, we're driving a 2020 Nissan Rogue, and it's got about 26,000 miles. I tell you what I like about this one is it's a basic model. I mean, some guys, there's a group of people out there that, you know, all the bells and whistles they actually don't want. So if you're looking for kind of the basic model that doesn't have too many things to confuse you, it has the essentials. It has the backup camera and stuff, but it's a just a nice kind of basic ride, and it looks great. And it's it was only 26,000. I say only, but I think 26,000 was around where the price was. So again, it's just a good newer vehicle for the guy that, you know, just kind of wants a basic car.
And Jake, you like that because you were able to set the cruise.
Usually I can't figure that out. Yep. Yes.
Third and 14, Moline coming out of the timeout. Little reverse. Handoff to the right side of the second man through. And that's Cranston Wall, who gets all the way to the edge, to the sideline, and up the sideline for a first down before the play finally comes to an end down to the 10-yard line. A gain of 30. And actually they're going to back him up a little bit short of the 10-yard line. But deep inside the red zone and a big, big third down conversion for Moline.
The misdirection was there again, and we had penetration, but it was just a split second too late. Noah Wright was in the backfield, but just out of arm's reach. So we had almost another tackle for a loss, as it turns out, a big gain and a first down. going in from the 13-yard line, 12-yard line.
First carry of the game for Cranston Wall. Now first down Moline from the Galesburg 12 with a minute 22 to go in the opening quarter. Streaks already down, a touchdown. Again, movement at the line, and now the flag blows this one dead. And a false start against Moline. Do want to mention, too, at Galesburg Nissan, don't forget about that lifetime powertrain warranty that comes with all certified pre-owned vehicles, 50,000 miles or less, anything 5 years or newer, 5 years old or newer. You can get that lifetime warranty that's the best deal anywhere you're going to find in the area. Our thanks to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation everywhere we go for Galesburg High School football, girls, basketball, and boys basketball as well. First and 15, Moline backs him up to the Galesburg 17-yard line, leading 7-0. Handoff left, up the middle, the fullback with a big hit. A couple steps forward for Gavin Grace, but not much. And it'll be second and about 12 here.
Yeah, Damian Thomas right there to make that stop. If you read the newspaper this week, a nice article featuring Damian Thomas. Well-deserved. A starter on the streets now for a very, very long time. Seems like he's been here forever. They called him the mayor of defense out there, and he's definitely the streak's leader. He makes all the calls, and he seems to always be at the right place at the right time.
Well, shout-out to Matt Wheaton. He does such great stories on those kids. He finds an individual to write about, if not two, every week. And
yep.
Matty does a good job talking to those kids and giving them some press. Now a streaks timeout with 35 seconds to go in the quarter. That's a tough place to call a timeout, but you gotta use them, especially this deep in the field when you see something you don't like.
Yeah, Coach Black will immediately seeing something in that formation that he didn't like. So he's going to come out here. He's talking to Jeremiah Morris initially. So I'm wondering if he's just lined up in the wrong gap. And John knows that, you know, a lot of the big plays that happen are when two guys are playing the same gap. That is a big mistake here, on defense. So getting some things corrected, and yeah, you're right, it's a tough spot to call a timeout, but could be worth it because that could have been a play that would have broke through that gap.
Yeah, Jake, you're talking about gap integrity. If we have two guys in one gap, that means if we're up front with a lineman and a linebacker, that means there's going to be one gap open. And it always seems to be if you
figure it out.
Yeah, it always undoubtedly will go to that gap. It's like it's a magnet. But real quick, I want to give a shout-out to our student section. Jake, have you heard them down there?
Yeah, they are very loud and boisterous. It looks like neon night or construction night or something like that.
We've got the yellow and the orange going on. But we are on the other side of the field from them, and I've heard them very, you said boisterous. They have been over our headphones, and I've been able to hear them. So shout-out to the student section, the kids who made the trip up here to Moline tonight to cheer on the streaks.
All right, coming out of the streaks, defensive timeout could be. The last play of this first quarter. 7-0 Moline. Maroons trying to add to the lead with a pass play to the left side, complete into the numbers of Fuller, and the tackle made down at about the 2, and it'll be first and goal for Moline. About a yard past where they needed to get for the first down, and they'll have 4 plays to get into the end zone here and add to the lead. Unless they don't move the sticks, they may be a yard short by the time they spot this. Okay.
Oh, they're still eyeing it.
Well, actually, they're eyeing it, aren't they?
Yeah.
Ball's all the way on the opposite side of the field from where the chain gang is standing. They are going to pull them out. So they're going to measure it. So on this drive, we have now seen 3 timeouts in the last minute and 24 seconds. 1 by Moline, 1 by Galesburg, and now 1 by the officials. Game was moving along pretty well until this drive.
And if I'm Moline here, if we get a first down, they could sit on it. Let the quarter run out. But they have momentum. Why would you give the Galesburg opportunity to regroup during we have a timeout right now, so to speak, with the officials, and then give them the quarter to go and regroup a little bit again. I keep it right here. First down.
First down, yep. Stretched it out, and really when it was all said and done, it doesn't even look like it was really even that close.
Clock will wind.
So pass play of 11. 1, 2, 3, 4. Wait a minute, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different players have been involved offensively for Moline. Passing, running, or receiving. 9 different players in their second possession, a first and goal from the 2, final 20 seconds of the opening quarter, leading 7-0. Handoff right, touchdown by the fullback, Gavin Grace.
You saw the streaks stem there, and I thought they jumped.
I thought too.
I thought we got them to look to me like the right or the left guard. I couldn't tell which one.
Well,
I thought they
jumped. They were overloads, so it could be tackle.
Right.
That's hard to tell in the
Somebody
replay.
Jumped. Somebody got a very early start.
Oh, yeah, definitely leaning. But
an 11-play scoring drive that along the way, Moline had a fumble that they recovered. They had a penalty that backed them up. They had a loss of four on a tackle for loss by Damian Thomas. And all of those things we have talked about at one point or another throughout this season about how they have killed momentum. They potentially can kill momentum and kill drives, and they have killed drives. We've seen it in the previous six games, all three of those. And Moline overcame all three of them and put together an 11-play scoring drive anyway. And that's testament to just how good this team has been this year.
Yeah, up front right now they are so good, and they are establishing themselves in the trenches. And these running backs, you know, you don't see any, like, big plays. You had the big kind of trickery play with the counter crisscross reverse thing that they did, which was really the play that broke our backs. You know, we had them as a third and middle, third and long, finally, and they run that play for a big gang, and that kind of broke our backs, and then they were just able to kind of grind us down. And right now that's what they're doing, just kind of nothing fancy, just kind of grinding us down, throwing some play-action passes when they need to.
Exactly. It's what happens when you run the ball like this. The defense kind of falls asleep a little bit in the secondary, and then you come out with the play-action, and it's like, oh, here they go. So
it's the way football's been done for centuries around
here. Good play call.
Sterling returns a Rock Island fumble for a touchdown, and they have suddenly opened up a one-possession lead to a 20-point lead 20 seconds before halftime. Sterling has put on 41 points on Rock Island and leads 41-21.
Yikes. Rock Island has that big play ability. I wouldn't say that they're out, you know, at this point, but they better figure something out defensively there.
UT and Alleman still scoreless at last check in that game. The kickoff short, and it's Van Dyke who backpedals and hauls it in at the 42-yard line. So the Streaks will be able to run a play with 13 seconds to go here at the end of the first quarter, trailing 14-0. An 11-play scoring drive for Moline. They covered 66 yards in 5 minutes and 5 seconds. So they have had the ball a total of 9 minutes and 58 seconds in this first quarter with 13 seconds remaining.
That's a recipe for success. You know, the Streaks got to find a way. Let's get a first down here, you know, get answer these two scores with at least some offensive production right now.
Yep, Streaks in three plays on their first drive gained one total yard. High snap, Legate goes high, hauls it in, rolls left, throws deep, man-to-man coverage picked off by Moline. Better possession by Cranston Wall. He intercepts it inside the 35-yard line, and the Maroons will take over at the 32 with 3 seconds to go here in the first quarter.
The snap started everything there. He's got to be able to throw that ball on time, and he wasn't able to because he had to jump for the snap. But he needs to make a better decision and just either take a sack, excuse me, or get up in there and get what you can. Throwing that ball rolling to his left, and that was the result, underthrown.
It's a hard throw going against your body as you roll out to your left as a right-handed thrower. And what happened was the quick throw wasn't there, so you know Dre adjusted, went upfield, and so he tried to throw it deeper, but he just throwing across his body. It's a very difficult throw.
Tight back inside. Yep, they go with the same crisscross play up the middle. Cranston Wall bounces to the outside, first down and more, and it's Mikey Eicher who tracks him down, but he gets all the way to the 35-yard line on a big run by Wall. So that back-breaking play that Jake just talked about on the last drive, they run it again for a big chunk of yardage, and that's how the first quarter ends. And
flag.
A flag comes flying in as somebody, apparently on the Silver Streaks, or no.
No, it's I've been watching 42 for
looking
Moline.
At Moline's side, yeah.
He's been.
Yep, they just pointed to him. So that's going to back it up 15 yards. That's going to take it back to midfield. But still, good field position for Moline. We'll wait for the official call. The first quarter has ended. There's the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. So 15 yards will be walked off against the Maroons. It's 14-0 Moline after one quarter here at Browning Field. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
WGIL, keeping you connected to Galesburg.
Hi, I'm Brett Wright from WGIL. Register for the Regional Office of Education's next webinar, Fostering Healthy, Positive Online Socialization, this Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. This virtual event looks at the ways in which socialization has changed as a result of technology and discusses social skills that result in cyber safety. Find out how to register on the community events page at WGIL.com.
These community announcements are being brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL. Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
One quarter gone from Moline. 14-0 Maroons. Moline will have the ball at midfield as we start quarter number two, coming off a Galesburg interception. We're 12 minutes away from halftime, 12 minutes of game clock away. Sean Hickey, what's good at Galesburg High School this week in our halftime interview?
Yeah, as always, we have Principal Tom Hawkins, but this week it was a fun one because one of the things I wanted to do was to on an away game before our last home game was to sit down with the band director Andrew Empey and discuss the halftime show, what the band is doing, the competition that they've had. So he's going to explain a little bit about the theme that we have this year for the halftime show as we go into our last home game, so the fans can have an idea of what it is that they're looking at, as well as talking about the accolades that they've amounted to so far this season.
First play of the second quarter, all kinds of time for Ponder, who throws, and it's off the hands of Schultz, incomplete at the 40, but a flag down, back 3 yards downfield from the line of scrimmage.
Looks like it might be a man pointing, downfield.
That's
pointing,
what you're going to get.
Pointing back to Moline's direction. And what the performances we've seen from the Galesburg marching streaks this year. And their sound has been incredible, too. And
it's the best in the business as far as, I mean, we go to a lot of games and hear a lot of bands. I don't hear, you know, anything that our guys don't rival with.
No, not at all.
And not to take away from the interview, but we've had some two very successful competitions gone to down at Illinois Wesleyan, and then at the other one, which was
Geneseo.
And best in class, best in show, I mean, sweeping across the line of all the awards there. So hats off to them as they continue on their season. And we'll see, really, with our last home game next week, a final product of what they put together for the halftime show.
Okay, good. I was trying to figure... Well, I still don't think that's right. The flag was down at the 47-yard line, so they marked off 7 yards from where the flag was, and now he just moved it back one more.
Legal man downfield. It's going to be 5 from the previous spot.
Okay. Because I was trying to figure, I couldn't figure out, the 4 didn't make any sense to me. Here's a handoff right side. Riley Fuller with room to run, gets into the secondary, and the tackle made at the 30-yard line of Galesburg. It was Cam McGuire who made the touchdown-saving tackle. But another big run for the Moline Maroons as they pick up 25. Now, fellas, this is looking bleak here. The Streaks have got to figure this out defensively quickly.
Effectively, it looks like right now the Streaks employing pretty much what's like almost a six-man front at one point here. If you break through that, you get past the two linebackers, there isn't much left. Back to three linebackers now. Hunter Davina back in the middle.
First down from the Galesburg 30. Streaks creep up to the line of scrimmage. I thought they got somebody to move on that Moline offensive side. And the play goes up the middle for a short gain. I don't see a flag down anywhere.
No. They're missing that. The Streak sideline is calling that out right now, the coaches. But here you go. You got Damian Thomas on a perfect blitz again. It was Damian Thomas that was the defense of the football on the pass play before on the penalty. The guy's just active and all over the place right now.
But when our linebackers are not able to flow and make a play, what we're seeing are some of our linemen, they're getting pushed back.
Yeah.
So that cuts down the angles of our linebackers. So in essence, what an offensive lineman can do, if they are controlling the guy in front of them and moving him back 3 or 4 yards, that pushes him right into the linebacker. That turns into an ability to block two guys at once.
14-0 is the Moline lead. Maroons looking to add to it here with 10.5 minutes to go in the first half, 2nd and 9. From the Galesburg 29-yard line.
Overload your way, Jake.
And there's a flag down on the back from the back judge. It's got to be.
Well, that's the guy that came up and talked to me.
There it is.
And just kept talking.
You want to talk? You can give him a little airtime here since he made the effort to come up here and let us know who they were.
Chris Smith is his name. Back judge. His referee number is 18404.
His phone number is.
That's right. Look him up. A good call there, Chris.
Delay of game backs them up five, and now they jump on the left side of the offensive line. That'll be five more yards against Moline. So a little self-destruction here. That'll move them back to the Galesburg 39-yard line. Still leading 14-0, though. And
yeah, Coach Morsi brings back the play caller. Goes, all right, let's put them. We've got second and 20. We got to play for that. Let's see if they come up here.
You sure do.
Overload still to the left.
Now back it up to the 39-yard line on first and 20. Up the middle, skipping past one tackle, staying on his feet is Pablo Perez across the 35-yard line up to about the 33 to pick up six.
Kenny Klein in there, kind of cleaning that thing up. It is a good gain, but it's second and 20. Still a long ways to go here. So
actually, it's third down. I was mistaken. Because they had the little one-yard gain first.
Oh, right.
So that brought up second down. Then they had the two penalties. So it is third down.
So it would have been second and 19.
Right.
Now it's third and
13.
Third and 13.
Two big third down conversions for Moline in this game already. Streaks need a big stop here. They go left with Fuller trying to bounce to the
Keep
outside.
Pushing.
Trying to bounce. And a good low tackle made to pursue. And now two flags come flying in at the end. Noah Wright was in pursuit. Beckham came up with the low block to bring him down.
I guess somebody came over the top of that and landed on top of him.
Yeah,
I don't know. You're pursuing that.
I think they're going to get Noah Wright for being a little bit late.
Well, he was chasing him down from the backside.
Noah Wright's the one that makes that play, and then he's stringing him out enough.
Yeah.
Javion is great at coming up and doing that kind of undercut tackle.
Personal foul against Moline, so something happened after the play.
Okay, yeah, I'll look and see.
Unless he pointed the wrong direction. Somebody kicked.
Yep.
Somebody from Moline kicked a Silver Streak. So the Streaks got the stop. But they're going to take the penalty yardage. Or if it's after the play, does the play count? And they're adding the penalty yardage on the end of it.
That would be best case scenario.
It sure would.
After the play, but they're still calling third down here.
I see that. It still says, the stick on the far side still says third down. So that backs them all the way up to the 48-yard line. Back into Moline territory as the clock rolls under 9.5 minutes to go in the half. So about a half mile in penalties against Moline on this possession. Now third. And a long way to go. Back to pass, Ponder. Good protection. Throws. Picked off by Nolan Carl.
Oh,
slips,
come on.
Stays on his feet, and a flag goes down, and Carl returns it to the Galesburg 49-yard line.
He get bailed out on a bad throw. The throw is behind the receiver, and the receiver's trying to make an adjustment to get back to the ball. Well, the two guys are sliding in the grass. Meanwhile, Nolan Carl drops back for the interception, but they're going to call interference here on us.
We're going to wait this one out.
Yeah.
See what the white hat says. Defensive holding against the Silver Streaks.
Okay.
As the now retired Mike Shannon would say.
So that'll negate essentially the 15-yarder. It's not an automatic first down in high school football.
Correct.
So we're still going to have third down at a bunch.
Going to take it back into Galesburg territory at the 42.
Yeah, and it kind of puts them back into that four down territory if they do make any kind of gain here. It's still third and a bunch.
We're going to call it third and 22. They have to get about to the Galesburg 20. For a first down. From under center. Ponder with a handoff. Fuller to the outside. And
good.
A good tackle made from the backside as Jayshon Parks got in there. Grabbed him from the jersey. Hung on and took him down for a loss.
Did we just have a clean play? I don't see any hands on the field.
Right.
So, hey, it can be done. All right, it looks like
they lose three on the play.
We're going to get some personnel changes here, so Moline is going to punt the football.
They said it couldn't be done.
Right.
Well, let's see.
I bet the punting unit of Moline has been probably not very well worked in the last three, four games. So
I count nine.
That's what I'm saying. They haven't punted in a long time, so they're not sure who's supposed to be out there.
Moline had 30 yards in penalties on that drive, and I'm not sure I added right. I may have missed something. Here comes the kick. A short one. Straight up. Wall did not get that one at all. And it takes a Galesburg bounce backwards and rolls to the 40-yard line.
A three-yard punt.
Did it go backwards?
No. Close. It was three yards.
It went backward about two. So, yeah, the Streaks are going to have it at the 40.
All right, some momentum going White's way here, right, as the Streaks now head back to the west here. And, you know, hopefully they could turn some of that defensive, and a lot of that was Moline's fault.
It was.
The Streaks right now have ran, what, four offensive plays?
Correct.
So
for 1 yard and an interception.
Right. Let's get a first down here, and then let's see where it takes us.
8:04 to go in the half. Streaks trailing 14-0. Third offensive possession as the defense holds. Drive starts from their own 40-yard line. Out of the gun. Play fake. The toss to Hunter Davina, and he gets wrapped up in the backfield and taken down as Hunter battles back to get tackled at the line of scrimmage for no gain.
A little shovel pass, right? So you're going to get play action to Cam McGuire. A little shovel pass underneath. We saw Hunter score on that play on a called back touchdown down in Quincy, I believe. Moline not having anything with that.
Second and 10 Streaks.
And if people are watching any games at all on Sundays, it's the Chiefs who run that quite a bit.
When they don't fumble it.
Says the Chiefs fan.
Mm-hmm. LeGate into double coverage, deflected up in the air and incomplete. Intended receiver Dre Egipciaco. Yep.
Very lucky not to get that picked. Outside linebacker there from Moline reads his eyes the entire way and almost meets Dre at the ball.
And if he gets that cleanly, there's a lot of green grass in front of him.
Yep.
I'd just like to point out the Chiefs would be 4-0 if they could just hang on to the ball.
You're not upset, are you?
Not at all. It's, you know, not like they're playing, you know, Buffalo this weekend or anything either. Better figure it out. 7:21 to go here in the first half. Silver Streaks trailing 14-0 with the ball, needing a huge third down conversion here. Down 3rd-10. Rolling right. LeGate plants. Under pressure. Gets out of it, though. Now rolling left. Looking downfield to find a man open. Throws it intended to Boffman and overthrown incomplete.
But a flag.
And a flag comes down, and he might have gotten held from behind. Good pursuit by the Moline defense, in all fairness. Nobody was open. And there's the defensive. That's a pass interference call.
Yeah,
that will give the Streaks a first down.
I actually think that was not on Boffman. I think that was on Nolan Carl as he was trying to maybe reach up for that. The ball was not thrown to him, but he tried to jump for it, and the guy had was pushing him in the back, and I think that's where the penalty came from.
All right. So the Streaks will take a first down by a penalty.
A first down by penalty will take it.
Moves us into Moline territory for the first time tonight, too. So the Streaks get more offensive yardage in a 15-yard defensive penalty by Moline than they've had been able to generate on their own tonight. 60 penalty yards against Moline now already in this game with still 7 minutes to play in the first half. And that seems highly uncharacteristic of a team that's been playing as well as they have. Streak trying to take advantage of it and move the ball downfield. On the ground, Aguirre. Pickup of a couple, runs into that big Moline defense. Kept him pushing, kept pushing forward. Gets close to the 40, and he'll pick up four on first down. That's the biggest offensive play of the night for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, we had
four.
We caught Moline, you know, out of position. That guy slipped inside the field, and they weren't in position. So absolutely take advantage of that.
You know, and effectively, we're still trying to fill things out. You know, we're talking about our sixth and seventh offensive play of the entire night. So we still, like, have a lot of plays in the playbook we haven't called yet. And we're still trying to figure out what we can do.
Yeah, you're still trying to build off your game plan. Sometimes you script those first plays just to get a feel for the game itself.
Play goes right. Still on the ground again, and that doesn't get much. Aguirre, they're going to get him to the 40-yard line. So a short yard that he picks up, and it's now third and a long. Well, they're going to call it, third and a long five.
He's trying to run the redraw, the zone read. We saw the kind of zone read cutback that we saw Cam have some success on last play. Just right now up front, things not going the Silver Streaks way.
No, the penetration's been there for the Moline defensive line.
Third and five Streaks. Back to pass. Legate steps up. Man-to-man coverage intended for Eicher. Comes back for it. Incomplete. And now a flag down. Cranston Wall and man-to-man coverage downfield. Eicher kind of went around the backside of him and tried to curl around his left to come back up front for it. And is the flag going to be against Wall?
I think so.
By the way Wall's reacting, it's going to be.
Yeah, I think so.
I wasn't so sure it was going to be against Mikey. But all the body language, all it seems to indicate, there it is, pass interference, Moline. So another first down by penalty.
Nice collective groan by the home crowd here in front of us. It's almost like they practiced that.
So now 75 yards in penalties against Moline, and that gives Galesburg a first down to the 25 of the Maroons. Well, I'll tell you, we've seen a little more than a scintilla of penalty yardage against the opponents the last couple of weeks, haven't we? 22 penalties against Rock Island last week. Now the play on the ground runs left for Aguirre inside the 25, down close to the 21. For another pickup of four. Now look, streaks seem to look a little energized offensively as Moline's helping him out here on this drive.
Trying to find some positive gains. There's a little three-yarder. But what we've seen in recent weeks that have been bigger gains, it's like Moline's playing with 13 or 15 guys out there. It's just you're trying to get a cut. You're trying to get things upfield. But there's always another Moline player there. So it's going to take a broken tackle right now or some sort of misdirection. To get any kind of real positive gain. Well, these defense being very stout at this point when they don't shoot themselves in the foot.
Second and six, under 5 minutes to go in the half.
4 yards of play is decent.
Back to pass, Legate, under pressure, gets it away. Pass dropped inside the 20-yard line intended for Davina, and he was wrapped up right away, but he didn't bring it in. Amir Lomas was right there on the coverage. Would not have been enough for a first down, but it would have given the Streaks about third and four had Hunter brought that one in. It'll be third and six instead.
It's just there's pressure on that play. Tristan has very little time to throw the football right now, and it's just somebody's left unblocked, it seems, on just about every offensive snap.
Quincy leading Geneseo at halftime, 16-0. Abingdon Avon has taken a 12-7 lead over Princeville with under 9 minutes to go in the third quarter in that game. 4:47 to play before halftime here. Big third down for the Streaks. They've gotten two by a Moline penalty. Legate throws, overthrows Dre Egyptiaco inside the 10. It'll be fourth down. And that was way overthrown.
Here comes our change of personnel.
We're going to run Sam Satiski out there to kick one, are we?
Yep.
This will be about a 38-yarder. That's right about where he knocked down his first of three in the game against Rock Island last week. And that was into a pretty good headwind. This is with much heavier air tonight, but no wind.
Heavier air, and I wonder about his footing.
Yep. Different footing.
Legate will hold. He'll hold it down at the 27, about the 28-yard line. Kick is away, low and left.
I don't think the ball ever got on the tee there, guys. I think that the snap was a little mishandled, and it looked to me like Sam had to kick that ball off the ground. I don't know if the replay will show that.
No, I won't be able to see that.
I don't think the hold was where Sam wanted it there.
So the Streaks can't take advantage of the 30 penalty yards on that drive against the Moline Maroons, and they give it up. With 4:37 to go in the half, both teams with two timeouts remaining, and the Maroons take over.
Jake, I think we got the ball down, but it was late.
Yeah. It just there was something goofy, the snap and the handle, and the timing wasn't quite right.
Maroons have it at the 20. Again, 4:37 to go in the half, leading 14-0. Ponder still in. Gives off to the second man through. To the left side, Grant Sibley on the character. Up the far sideline. First down across the 35, close to the 40.
Yeah.
But, flag down back at the 35.
If Nolan Carl, I think, if he had a wallet on him, he may have lost it on that play.
Mugged.
He got mugged. That was right in front of you, wasn't it, Jake?
Yeah,
right see that?
In front.
Yeah.
Nolan had his hands up. Nolan does a good job of making sure people see it.
Yep.
And that's why you do have to do that, you know, and he was certainly mugged on that play.
And we also know what type of player he is on the edge. And when he's not getting out there and you know he has a little bit of separation, but he still can't get there, perfect time. Throw your arms up, let the official see that, make the right call.
That's the eighth penalty against Moline tonight. And we still have 4.5 minutes to play in the half. Holding Ventilia will back it up to first and 16 now.
What did Rock Island end up with last week? 21?
22 flags.
22 flags. Maybe it's maybe we infuriate people.
420 and counting. First down, Moline. First and long. Hand off to the second man through again. Gets away from the coverage in the backfield, and Wall with room to run again up to the 35-yard line, and he gets the penalty yardage back plus five more. And a first down up to the 35. It's Wall on that play every single time. What'd you guys call it? The crisscross? The counter crisscross?
Yeah, that one there. Yeah, it's kind of a form of a reverse that you run out of this wing, this single wing set. You call it a reverse, call it. It's not much counter.
That wasn't counter action. That was just a sweep.
There's nobody pulling. It's just kind of hand sweep. You can call it that. There's a whole bunch of others. It's just action going one way with a guy coming across to the outside to give it to.
So Cranston Wall has three carries tonight for 28, 33, and 21 yards on that last play. Now Fuller up the middle. Spins off a tackle. First down to the 50-yard line. And then finally the Streaks push him up and pull him forward. And Mikey Eicher gets tangled up with Fuller going out of bounds on the Moline sideline. And the officials don't throw a flag, but the Moline fans certainly wanted one. They just got tangled up with the momentum carrying them out of bounds. And I think that was a good no call, although the Maroon fans, again, frustrated with all the flags they've seen called against their team. Actually going to spot it at the 46-yard line right at the first down marker, and they move the chains. So approaching midfield with 3:36 to go in this opening half. 14-0 Moline. Maroons shot themselves in the foot with penalties on the last drive that forced a punt. And now the officials blow the whistles to come in. And a little conversation between, is that the back judge who walked up there to talk with the referee?
Yeah. Look at the spot. They missed it about 3 or 4 yards.
I thought it was up closer to the 50.
About the 49-yard line is where it should be.
Yeah.
But they have it back at the 46. It works well for us.
I mean, that's where the play ended by the time Mikey pushed him back that far. But
forward progress should have been up around the 48
that's
or 49.
That's kind of what I thought. And I don't know if that's what the conversation is about here or not.
Now we're calling in the side judge and
bringing both coaches
they're bringing the head coaches out.
They're bringing the coaches out.
Maybe they'll go have them come out and do a little
rock, paper, scissors,
see?
I wonder if this is about some of the, I mean, it hasn't been that chippy out here. I haven't seen. I mean, it's.
Well, on the sideline over here, Mike Morrissey is pointing to one of his players.
Was it his captains? I don't remember
that's
who
what
he
I'm
out
wondering.
There with him.
I don't remember either. So they're bringing one of the kids out from the Moline side. And now three of the officials are talking with Rashid Guntandi and Mike Morrissey, the head coach.
Coach Blackwell is walking in.
Leaning in, trying to. Then you got one of the other officials who's just kind of holding his hand, like back off, coach. And Blackwell just keeps walking a little bit closer. And unless Guntandi has been out there on special teams, this is not somebody who's had any impact as a player on the game. So I'm not sure. That's very unusual. And now four of the officiating crew members are talking with Coach Blackwell. Mike Morrissey, as he walks back to the sideline, does not look upset. He's giving an explanation to one of his assistants. Although now he's shaking his head. The frustration kind of shaking his head. Now he's going to head back out there. Coach Blackwell is still out there.
They're each going
to address their teams. So maybe this is some of the chippiness that you thought might not be bad, but they're just trying to maybe settle things down here, I'm guessing. It's unusual to have the officials call the coaches out and have them meet with their teams with 3:36 to go in the half. And remember, this follows the play where Eicher got tangled up with Wall coming out of bounds, or Fuller, rather. And they went into the Moline sideline. And Eicher was trying to release, but their momentum just carried him out.
Well, Mikey was the only one that fell. The ball carrier stayed on his feet.
Yeah. So now we're ready to go. After all that, first down from the 46 to the outside. The sweep, Christian Rea with his first carry. Hit and pushed backwards. The ball pops free, but he was down. And his forward progress does get him to the 49 before he's pushed backwards on a big stop by the Streaks.
Javion Beckham there on a huge tackle, able to push him back. Makes a great play from his corner spot. Is the only one left out there on the outside.
First carry of the game for Christian Rea.
Welcome back, Javion, for sure.
Yep, missed all last week, not because of an injury, but because of COVID protocol, close contacts. He was not
sick.
He was not sick, but just had to get the official clearance to come back. And he's had an impact in this game. 2:50 to go in the first half. Streaks down two touchdowns. Handoff goes to the right. Fuller on the sweep. Flag down. Crosses the 50. Run out of bounds. And Hunter makes the tackle right on the sideline. And
another flag.
Dragged out. But the flag down back at the 48.
Area of holding, I'm guessing.
Typically. Nolan Carl is already pointing back Moline's direction. So that'll negate a short gain. It would have brought up third and about four. Instead, we'll move it 10 yards back from the spot of the foul, and it'll go from second and seven to about second and maybe 14. So they're going to walk it off, and it will, by the time they put the ball down, all the way back at just inside the 43. So second and 13.
There's just no flow to this football game right now. I mean, it's
first
just,
quarter was fine.
Right. Well, up till about 2 minutes to go.
End of the first quarter.
And since then, there's just no flow at all. I mean, it's, if you're hearing a lot of dead air, it's because that's all there is out here right now.
Heavy dead air.
Yes.
Heavy, humid, misty dead air. Second and 13. Rolling right, Ponder throws. Complete to Bailey. Hit at the 50 and then stopped there. Mikey Eicher got him down low at the ankles, grabbed on, and then Davina came over and finished him off. They'll pick up 7 to the 50.
Our corners tonight have just been solid. Just solid play, solid tackling and run support, solid coverage right now in the passing game. And that's that, you know, we said that with my interview with Coach Hawk. That's a strength that Moline exploited last year. Right now, Mikey and Javion have been extremely solid back there.
3 for 4 passing for 32 yards for Alec Ponder. 3rd and 4. Handoff again. Cranston Wall, first down, up the middle, 35, 30. Tackle made there by Eicher to the 28-yard line, and another big gain for Cranston Wall. He'll pick up 20. See where they spot it. Going to give him 23 on the play, and he's over 100 yards rushing on 4 carries tonight.
So on that play, 3 Moline players touch that ball. The quarterback hands it off to one running back going to the right, who then does an underneath handoff to a running back going to the left. So it works kind of like a reverse, a double reverse, whatever you want to call it. And they've ran that play multiple times tonight, all been successful.
All to Cranston Wall, as we talked about earlier. 4 carries over 100 yards rushing and a tackle for loss in the backfield. Thomas again comes charging through. Takes Fuller down for a loss back behind the 30. So they'll lose 4 on first down.
Sean, I think I'd send him every play because right now that's the success, is we're finding ways to get Damian Thomas in the backfield. And if we don't send him back there, they seem to have more success getting out to the edge. I just think we have to be uber aggressive right now with our linebackers.
Uber. The problem is if he's blitzing strong side and that's the side they're running to. If he's not, he's
right.
We're down a player at that point. Here he's shown it again.
Second and 15, trying to fight his way through the middle. Ponder rolling right, throws complete inside the 25 to Bailey, and the tackle made inside the 20, very close to a first down. Well, Damian's our leading candidate for Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game at this point because
no
of
doubt.
Those plays.
We have time.
Are they going to spot this ball? They're going to mark it at the 20, sorry, at the 18. And they do move the chains, no measurement. So pick up a 14.
Timeout Maroons.
With 37 seconds to go in the half, leading 14-0. So this would be, I don't know if they're quite in Caroline Hazen's range yet. They probably need, they probably need another 10 yards for sure. They're certainly not thinking just field goal at this point. They have one timeout remaining with 37 seconds left after this, using the second one here. Again, coming up at halftime, Sean Hickey's interview, the weekly What's Good at Galesburg High School feature, focuses the spotlight on the marching streaks. Visit with marching band director Andy Empey, who's done a phenomenal job in a very short time at Galesburg High School, through a pandemic, no less. And the marching streaks have had a phenomenal year up to this point. Going to talk about some of that success.
Upcoming competitions they have. Their season is still only about halfway through. They still have two more competitions to go.
Biggest one coming up in, what, 3 weeks?
Dunlap and then U of I, yep.
First and 10 from the 18 coming out of the Moline timeout. Play fake. Pass goes to the left side and overthrown. Led Bailey a little bit too much. It's incomplete. 32 seconds to go. Second and 10 from the 18.
Did you guys see the play I made on that? No comment there?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, man, I short hopped that ball. It was perfect.
Step aside.
The student section liked it, just
did
so
they?
You know.
Okay, good.
Okay.
And we've already commented the student section, so they they see good ball play when it's there, whether it be
they recognize greatness.
Baseball or golf or anything else. They recognize it.
Second and 10 from the 18. Ponder rolling left. Throws off his back foot, slings it across the middle, complete to Schultz, and he gets in for the touchdown.
I don't know how he got that throw through. We had some good pressure. We had some hands up.
Threaded the needle, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he
throwing left and throwing back across his body, slung it right through the middle of the field for the touchdown.
He threw the ball behind his receiver, which actually ended up being the perfect place to put that, because if he leads them, I think the Streaks have guys there to make that play.
And it comes with 22 seconds remaining to give them a 3-touchdown lead. And they're 22 seconds away from extending their shutout streak to 15 quarters. And the kick
is either,
I don't know if the Streaks got it. I mean, there was pressure coming in from the left side. I don't know if they got a hand on it or she just didn't kick it right. But it's no good, yeah. So it's 20-0. So, 22 seconds to go. Best thing you can hope for realistically is a kickoff return, which would be great. As Jake alluded to earlier, Streaks had a big win against the Maroons in the spring game. And Streaks were close to having a big run back on the last kickoff. It started with a holding penalty. They had another holding penalty. They had a loss of 5. And they still put together a 9-play scoring drive, 80 yards in exactly 4 minutes. Sorry, 4 minutes and 15 seconds. 20-0 Maroons with 22 seconds to go in the half. First half has taken a little over an hour after starting an hour late. Over an hour late. Freshman game ran long again. The homecoming introductions tonight. 22 seconds to go in the half. Hazen has the ball teed up at the 40. McGuire and Lewis back to receive for the Silver Streaks at the 15.
Still waiting for the whistle. There it is.
She runs up, kicks it. It'll be short. One of the Streaks up men drops the ball, scoops it up. That's Drea Gypsyako at the 30, running to the outside. Does get to the outside and then can't quite get one last man to beat on the far side as he's tackled at the 35-yard line with 13 seconds to go in the half. If Drea gets that angle and gets to the outside.
Yeah, he's got a shot there.
He had a shot, yeah.
He's got a shot. Now, I don't know what the Streaks do with this. You know, you get one possession. I think we do have one timeout left. No, it does say two.
Two, yep.
It says two on the scoreboard. I would try to run my offense here and see if I can come up with something here that's going to, you know, give me a glimmer of what I want to do for the second half.
From the 34-yard line, down 20-0. Final few plays of the first half. Streaks will keep it on the ground. McGuire tries to get to the outside, dives forward to the 35 for a pickup of a yard. And the Streaks will let the clock run out. We're at halftime, 20-0 Moline. Again, we'll talk about the marching Streaks with director Andy Empey and Galesburg High School principal Tom Hawkins. Previews next week as well as recaps the last week at the high school as part of our halftime interview. Moline 20, Streaks nothing at the half. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
When you're talking about any kind of building project, you can't just walk outside and start digging. But you can call Courtright Construction right now and get on top of their list. Site prep is one of their specialties. Trust the pros at Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project.
Go get them, Silver Streaks. This is Jeff Klink from Galesburg Nissan. Reminding everyone, Galesburg Nissan has the area's largest and nicest rental car fleet. An awesome detail shop, Galesburg Car Care, and we are driven to create customers for life. A free lifetime warranty with no gimmicks. Every fifth oil change is free for life. And a free loaner car for life. Galesburg Nissan. Galesburg Nissan Car Rental. Galesburg Car Care. And Galesburg Nissan Pre-Owned Auto Center all say, let's go Streaks.
Earth date present day. Dave's Auto Body repairs an alien shuttlecraft.
Captain Dave, we collided with a Nimzu orbital chariot. Our scanners show your facility surpasses a replicator in vehicular repair.
Dave's crew springs into action, restoring the craft to intergalactic standards. Commander, we repaired your warp drive and bumpers. There's a lifetime warranty.
Oh, Shimza, Captain Dave.
Dave's Auto Body.
How long is that in light years?
You better call Dave.
Is that candy?
Yes, take some.
Oh, that's the Schwablock.
Standing at the end of the driveway, surveying the cracks, you imagine how much nicer your house would look with a new concrete driveway. For any and all jobs involving concrete, consult the experts at Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next concrete project.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by the UPS store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg, and by Bradley Hicks, Century 21 affiliated. Morning, noon, nights, or weekends, Bradley Hicks will help you find your dream home.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm, providing great insurance rates on bundled auto, home, and life policies. Call for the right policy and save money. Partly cloudy tonight, overnight low 59. Some sunshine tomorrow with a high of 81. Tomorrow night, an overnight low of 66. Sunday, mostly sunny and a high of 84. In downtown Galesburg, it's 63 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Galesburg High School football continues with the Silver Streaks halftime report. Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.
Welcome to the Galesburg Rock On Halftime Show. I'm Sean Hickey in this week's segment of What's Good at GHS. As always, we have Principal Tom Hawkins with us, but this week's spotlight is on 21st Century. Let's start with 21st Century and site coordinator Sarah Gray. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So if you could tell us a little bit about 21st Century. Where does the funding come from for this?
Okay, so funding is actually handed out.
Stay connected to what's happening in Galesburg. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
Facing several charges after leading police in a pursuit on I-74. GPD attempted to stop a speeding vehicle driven by Bradley Kinnear in the early morning hours on Thursday that reached speeds over 95 miles per hour. When Kinnear finally stopped, he continually refused to exit the vehicle or identify himself. Ultimately, Kinnear was charged with unlawful use of registration, revoke registration, possession of an open title, resisting a peace officer, and a Henderson County warrant for fleeing and eluding. A second spill in less than 2 weeks at a U.S. steel plant in northwest Indiana sent an oily sheen onto Lake Michigan. The sheen was detected Thursday morning on Burns Waterway outside the U.S. Steel Midwest plant in Portage, about 30 miles east of Chicago. Company spokeswoman Amanda Molkowski says that by 8 p.m. on Thursday, it was no longer present, and an existing boom had contained the sheen in an estimated 120-square-foot area. Indiana Dunes National Park closed some access to the lake on Thursday, and Ogden Dunes also shut down access. I'm Tyler Gum. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is 93.7 FM at 1400 AM, WGIL, Galesburg's News.
I'm Rich Dennison. President Biden today discussing the September jobs report.
Today's report has the unemployment rate down to 4.8%, a significant improvement from when I took office and a sign that our recovery is moving forward, even in the face of a COVID pandemic.
The jobs report from the Labor Department showing the country added a lower than expected 194,000 jobs in September. ISIS is claiming responsibility for today's suicide bombing at a mosque in the northern Afghanistan city of Kunduz that's killed at least 100 people.
The Taliban, now in charge of the country, says the blast was caused by a suicide bomber who mingled with worshippers at Friday prayers. The UN says the attack is a part of a disturbing pattern of violence against religious institutions in Afghanistan.
Fox's Greg Palcott in London. America's listening to Fox News.
Welcome to the Gelsberg Molian Halftime Show. I'm Sean Hickey with this week's segment of What's Good at GHS. We have a full show tonight with GHS principal, Mr. Tom Hawkins, but this week's spotlight is on the GHS director of bands, Mr. Andrew Impey. Let's start with the director of bands. Welcome to the show, Mr. Impey.
Thanks for the opportunity.
So what is your role as director of bands here at GHS?
My role as the director of bands here at GHS is just to oversee all the instrumental programs here, doing the wind symphony, the marching band, jazz band, things like that. And then I also help out at Lombard and Churchill as well.
Okay, so there's a lot of areas that you're working, and most of this can't be done alone, because if it were, there'd be no Mr. Impey here, because that's too much for one person. So an opportunity here for you to give some shout-outs. So who are the people that really help this program run, not only at the high school level, but as well as at the middle levels of Churchill and Lombard?
Yeah, it takes an army to get this done for sure. But I think the first group that we need to rely on are the students. They're the ones that put in the time in order to be successful. We've told the kids from the beginning that you will get out of this what you put into it, and they've put in so much time, especially with the late start in the school year, and before the school year began, we had to add some extra evenings. So there has been some time on their side of things, but they've done such an amazing job. We also have a great staff of individuals that help out. We've got Danny Matthew, who's the director at Churchill, Devin Kano down at Lombard, and then we have a new director with us this year, Nick McKinney, who helps out at GHS but also helps out at the other schools as well. We have Sandy Delagiannis, who helps out with the color guard and coaches the color guard. Then we have some additional staff, Eric Spindler, Stephanie Matthew, Krista Toll, Jackson Miller, and then Garrett Sprinkle. Our next group is our group of parents. We've got so many parents that help out, from helping with uniforms to make sure that the kids look great on the field. We have parents that push all of the pit equipment and props and instruments out onto the field for every performance. We have concession stand workers, and then parents that pull the trailers. So, like I said before, it just takes a lot of people to get this done, and we're really thankful for them.
Like you said, it does take an army. So, talking about the halftime performance of what people are seeing at the football games for those who are coming out, when we wrap the show up, you're going to be talking about some of the accolades that you've gotten so far with this performance. And just as a layperson like myself watching it, it seems very deservable, because it's outstanding. So if you could, let's speak a little bit about what we have happening with the halftime show this year.
Yeah, well, just coming out of last year, the kids are blowing us away. They've exceeded our expectations by far. You see just so many different programs that have had some long-term effects from COVID and all of that, but I feel that our program is really moving forward. Coming into this year, we wanted to do a show that was going to be more fun, maybe have some music that's more recognizable. Just going into this, our show this year is titled Out West. The show it brings a variety of music from some of the old westerns, with The Ecstasy of Gold from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, the main theme from the movie The Magnificent Seven, and then finally a rock tune titled Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi, which is a well-known tune and a lot of fun for the kids. So the goal was to set a scene of the Old West with our old style kind of frill with our color guard costumes and some darker colors, but then we also have a pop of color to make them stand out a little bit out there on the field. We also have 14 props that we move throughout the show and helps to frame the band, and it just helps us to highlight certain sections of the band throughout the show. So they're doing a really great job and have had a great season so far.
So I've enjoyed it. And that's why I interview you this week, is because next week will be our last home football game. And so our listeners who are tuning in tonight, when they show up for our last home game, they'll have an idea of what it is that they're looking for. So thank you for explaining that to us. So you've had some success so far this year with this show that you're doing, the movements and everything. If you could, let's talk a little bit about those accolades that we've had, a couple of competitions that you've been to. So if you would, just let our listeners know how that's gone for you.
Yeah, well, our first competition was at the normal marching competition, which was held at Illinois Wesleyan University. The band won best wins, first place in Class 3A, and then they were the overall grand champions out of 12 bands. Our second competition was the Geneseo Maple Leaf Classic, where, once again, they won best wins, best percussion, best color guard, and first place in Class 3A, and then once again won grand champion out of 8 bands. And they also won it by over 200 points, which is pretty awesome.
And I think that was a good weekend, too, against Geneseo, because I believe Friday night we beat them in football, and then you guys went down and did an excellent job, or went up there to do that. So congratulations on that. So what do we have coming up for the rest of your season? What competitions are lying ahead for you?
Yeah, so we have senior night next weekend for our band, and then on October 16th we travel to the Dunlap Invitational, and then we wrap up our season on October 23rd at the University of Illinois.
Okay, again, that was Mr. Andrew Impey, the GHS Director of Bands. Now let's talk with GHS Principal, Mr. Tom Hawkins. Tell us a little bit about the excitement from the past week here at GHS.
Well, you know, Sean, you know, I'd like to speak about homecoming for a little bit. You know, we had a great homecoming last week considering all that was happening with COVID. Now, but I want to take a moment to speak about the dance. You know, we had the support of our central office and our staff and our community to provide a dance for our students. You know, we rented two large tents that were placed right outside of the field house. We had the Orange Cup Java Station here providing beverages for our students. You know, it was a great event. It was nice seeing our students have a great time with each other. You know, that is part of the high school experience. You know, over the weekend, our district custodians came in and cleaned up Field Gym, which allowed the return of our volleyball teams to their home venue this week. You know, talking to Mr. Matthews, our AD, the last event we had inside of Thiel was in February of 2020. You know, then we had the big shutdown, you know, across our nation. You know, Thiel Gym is a special place, and it was great to see it alive again. You know, our school picture day was Wednesday, and that's always a special day for any school as we start the beginning processes of our yearbook club. You know, with Mrs. Lori Ayton, who was in her last year last night. And then last night, we finished up last night with our parent-teacher conferences. And it's great to see parents in our building.
So it was all in all a pretty busy week, but also didn't we have a couple of send-offs that we had for a couple of people here at GHS?
Yeah, we did, Sean. Thank you for reminding me of that. You know, last Friday we had a send-off for, you know, Officer Joe Luna, who spent, I think it was 22 years with as our school resource officer here that's associated with Galesburg Police Department. He did retire on Monday after 26 years with the Galesburg Police Department. It was great to send him off into his retirement. And, of course, something to special note, we had Jason Rumbaum, who qualified to the Illinois State Boys golf meet. And, you know, he's down there, you know, participating this morning. And we're just looking forward to that. And congratulations to Coach Jim Noonan for getting him down there. So thanks for reminding me about those send-offs.
Absolutely, and thinking about the send-offs, if our listeners don't know, we started this a few years ago. Do you mind telling our listeners what exactly a streak send-off is? What do we do for that?
Well, we have the students, the rest of the student body line the hallway, and we have our drum line that leads the athlete or the individual through the building. And they travel through all parts of the building. They go start on the first floor. They'll travel upstairs. And they pretty much they play the drum cadence while the student marches on and is cheered on throughout the hallways.
Okay, so what do we have coming up next week for our highlights? Looking ahead,
you know, as always, I'm always going to keep I'm going to keep talking about this. But on the school side, we're continuing our school improvement efforts. You know, aligning our goals set forth by the Board of Education, trying to continue to find ways to get our kids to school and to stop. And to fight chronic truancy. You know, chronic truancy should be a community effort, getting our students in school. And, you know, we need everyone's help with that.
And that's a wrap for this week's halftime show regarding what's good at GHS. Thanks again to GHS Band Director, Mr. Andrew Impey, and GHS Principal, Mr. Tom Hawkins, for the time. Coming up next, we'll have halftime stats and second half action against the Moline Maroons on 93.7 FM. And 1400 AM WGIL.
Is your water heater looking old, making weird noises? It's time to cut the cord and replace that old water heater with a new one from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. This is Neil Thomas. Never worry again about waking up without hot water, or worse yet, a ruptured water heater tank. Enjoy the comfort of knowing you have a dependable water heater for years to come with a full warranty that's been installed by a qualified, licensed plumber. For a free quote, call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today at 342-4328. That's 342-HEAT.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on South Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg, and by Templeton Roofing. Call Templeton Roofing when your roof matters. Learn more at templetonroofing.com.
Stay connected with Galesburg anywhere you go. Galesburg's local news is always online at WGIL.com.
Not a favorable first half in any sense for the Galesburg Silver Streaks, trailing Moline 20-0. Just a quick addition, Streaks ran 11 plays of offense and picked up 11 yards of offense. We're going to talk more about the statistics in a moment, but first we have our halftime coaches interview brought to you by Yam Auto Group on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Let's send it down to the field with Jake Miller.
Coach Hall, first let me, can I ask you real quick, we saw kind of a unfamiliar little scene out there where the officials bring both head coaches out there, you know, without, you know, too many specifics. Can you give us just a little insight as to what maybe was going on there?
I think the players playing football. They were playing football, and it got intense. And the refs thought that it was advantageous to bring the coaches out there, basically to tell the players, you know, just bring it down a few notches. Simple. It's football.
Right, and we're talking about high school kids here, right? Absolutely. Hey, Coach, so, you know, obviously the first thing then to go talk about here is we're only able to run 11 offensive plays, one turnover in that regards. You know, what is it that we can do adjustment-wise in a general sense to get some things going on offense as we get the ball, you know, first here out of the second half?
And that's where we're racking our brains with. Going for it, we have to be able to run the ball, and we got to be able to throw and catch the ball, plain and simple. Just take what they're giving us, you know what I'm saying, and then create from there pretty much.
Right, so it's not a change of the game plan. We're just talking about our guys just being a little bit better at what we're doing.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, we've had some hits, and you can see the receiver slip as well as the defensive back. This is, you know, the field isn't really the best in my eyes, you know. Right. So, but keep our feet and do what we're doing and do it to another level.
Okay. Thanks, Coach. I appreciate it.
All right, no problem.
Thanks as always to Assistant Coach Rob Hall joining us here at the. You know, Jake, I couldn't help but hear it in my head. It's a simple game. You run the ball, you throw the ball, you catch the ball. But, you got that?
Yeah. I get the reference there for sure. The Bull Durham reference, but no, it's not. It does come down to that. I mean, we are still talking about high school kids playing a game that neither of these offenses are like revolutionary by any sense. I mean, we're not racking the annals of offensive football out here, and right now it's just coming down to one side being more physical and being able to execute, and it's especially up front. And that's, you know, what we didn't get into there, but up front right now the Streaks losing the battle big time.
Let's finish off our halftime statistics, again brought to you by Yem Auto Group on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. We talked about the Streaks offensive numbers. Galesburg had two penalties for 30 yards. Moline, meanwhile, ran the ball 27 times for 219 yards. Again, the leading rusher, Cranston Wall, four carries for 105 yards. The rushing touchdown was to Gavin Grace. And let's see, Alec Ponder, 3 for 5 passing for 32 yards. But the real standout statistic, I think, for Moline is the one that ultimately hasn't had any impact on the score, and that's 9 penalties for 87 yards and some bad ones, too, but they still lead by 3 touchdowns. Silver Streaks will have the ball to start the second half, trailing 20-0. At least Moline will kick off to the Silver Streaks. So we'll anticipate them getting the ball. Some scores. Actually, I'm just going to read them right off the board. Well, I was going to read them right off the board over there, and then they took them away. Did I see that Geneseo has gotten within 7 of Quincy? Did I see that right? 23-16, I thought it said.
I did not see that.
I'm looking. I haven't seen that myself.
UT, meanwhile, poured some points on Alleman in a hurry. It was close and scoreless for a while. And then UT jumped on top 28-0. That's in the second half. Sterling now leading Rock Island 48-35. So the Rocks are hanging in there, coming back. Not out of the game entirely. Rock Ridge crushed Sherrard 56-7. And, well, they're officially, yep, 23-16, Quincy. Thank you, Will Stevenson, in the fourth quarter in that game. So Geneseo's come back and made a competitive game of it. That's what we're hoping the Silver Streaks can do here in these final 24 minutes as we get ready to kick off the second half. Caroline Hazen has the ball teed up at the 40. Back to receive for the Silver Streaks. The same two, Aguirre and Lewis. Now the Streaks are actually going to creep up a little bit. And a good kick to the right side. Lewis takes it. That's Amari Richardson, actually, who runs it across the 30 to the 35 and then stacked up at the 37-yard line. And a good run back by Amari. The Streaks, decent field position. Let's see if they can get something going here, get the momentum in their favor. Game not out of reach by any stretch. It's the fact that the Streaks have only 11 yards of offense that has such this sort of down, hopeless feeling. Streaks got to get the ball moving here.
Well, it's a good start here. We had a nice return. Get the ball here coming at the 37-yard line coming out. We talk about the Coach Hall talked about it there at halftime. The field itself, it's starting to deteriorate. It is. The more feet that we have on it, the more grass is going to come up, more mud exposed. But we had a nice return there, starting us off here for the second half.
UT now with a running clock over Alleman, 42 to nothing. Alleman has scored one touchdown all season. Hand off to the right side. Aguirre sweeps it to the outside. Got a good block, and then still the play gets closed down quickly, gets wrapped up and thrown down by Gavin Grace, who is a player who picked up the personal foul penalty earlier in the game. He holds Aguirre to a gain of three.
Yeah, and I didn't see him play much the rest of that first half, so the coaching staff over there, I think, sending a message. But he back out here, and he's definitely one of the more active members here from Moline on their defense.
Seven carries, 14 yards for Cam Aguirre. He has all of the Silver Streaks offense. Just the first play of the second half, though. Second and seven, ball sitting just across the 40-yard line of the Silver Streaks. Keep it on the ground to Aguirre, trying to get to the outside. Picks up a couple and then runs into that Moline defense, especially the linebackers. Gain of a couple more. It'll be third and five. And this is third and the shortest yardage the Streaks have had in this game. Really, more like third and four and a half.
And if you watch Moline's defense, man, it's 11 guys in the box. Right now, they're just daring us to find ways to throw the ball. And we know that there are weapons out there. It's can we get our quarterback time to deliver the football? But right now, everybody crowded within 5 to 7 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Well, we're also doing double tight. Double
right.
Tight, double wing.
Right.
It's going to bring anybody in. The corner is going to be a little bit tighter as
and
well.
Anytime Dre Egipciaco gets downfield, he's in double coverage, it seems like, too. Aguirre, or rather Legate, back to pass, and he completes it to Davina. First down, Streaks dives down to the Moline 40-yard line, and the Streaks pick up 17, their biggest play of the night, and a big, big third down conversion for Galesburg.
Love the play call there, too, because that's a simple pitch and catch. We're going to roll him to the short side of the field, make a very short throw that has very little chance of anything bad happening to it, other than being incomplete. Hunter makes a nice play, gets upfield.
First time the Silver Streaks have converted a third down on offense. Their other two third down conversions were because of Moline pass interference penalties. So on the Moline side of the field for the second time tonight, first down from the 40, the Streaks did have a field goal attempt that was unsuccessful. On the double pitch to Hunter Davina. The give to Aguirre and the little toss back to Hunter, and he picks up four on first down to the 36.
That's our version of the play that Moline runs. I mean, again, three guys touching the football there. It's done in a little bit different way. Actually, it's a fake handoff and a little shovel underneath. We've seen that run a couple times now to Hunter.
Second and six, Silver Streaks.
And that play could be successful if they continue with the defensive ends pushing upfield. It's going to open up a gap to run into. But we stay double tight here.
Short of the 36-yard line. Aguirre with a handoff running right. Pursuit from behind, and that's who catches up with him. Amir Lomas tracked him down. And I think Aguirre did get back to the line of scrimmage. There's no way he could have known Lomas was coming from behind him. It'll be third and six.
Yeah, that is not where you're looking to be tackled from on that play. That very rarely happens where you're going to get that much pursuit behind the line of scrimmage.
So another third down for the Silver Streaks, another third down opportunity. They're 3 for 4 tonight, but they haven't been able to convert it in any points. We're 3.5 minutes into the third quarter. Galesburg trailing 20 to nothing. This is the first offensive possession for either team here in the second half. Streaks are stacked up to the right side. Legate rolls that direction, throws it complete. Davina again with a first down, and the Streaks move the chains inside the Moline 30 down to about the 27.
Same play as the conversion the last time.
Yep.
Same play, same receiver. kind of flooding that side with guys. One guy clears out, the other guy hits the flat.
Same result.
Simple concept, and kind of, again, back to the basics here, even the passing game.
Well, and that passing game is going to slow down their pressure. You know, if we sit and continue to try to run, they're going to continue to bring their linebackers. So a little play-action pass here is going to open up a little bit in the flats. Hopefully that will call off the dogs a little bit as they come into blitz.
First down from the 28. Streaks run left this time, and nowhere to go for Dwyer. He'll lose a yard on the play.
I don't know if that was a blitzing backer or not, but we missed him, came through.
Streaks freshman lost tonight, 46-24. We've got Fighting Illini football tomorrow. Wisconsin coming to Memorial Stadium. A little more intrigue in that game, given Wisconsin's recent struggles. Not used to seeing that from the Badgers. Illini could use a big Big Ten win. 2:30 the kickoff, right? 2:30? 2:30. Sean Hickey will be there covering live for us. No, just there enjoying the game. Second and 11. Legate back to pass. All the time in the world. Ton of projection.
Back.
Now here comes the pressure. Now rolling left. Can't find an open receiver. Stumbles and then turns and throws it away. To nobody. The Moline sideline screaming for intentional grounding. And now there's the flag dropped on the far sideline. Took a long time for that flag to come out. Looked like Tristan just got turned around. Thought maybe a receiver was over there with three Moline jerseys descending on him, and he just got rid of the ball, and there was nobody there. And he comes up holding his back. And I didn't see the pounding he took.
He took a shot.
But
he did.
He's
waved it off.
Waved it off. Wow.
He's definitely trying to catch his breath, trying to walk it off.
Jake, I don't remember. Does IHSA have an out-of-pocket rule for that? Because he rolled far enough to the right outside of the pocket.
Right, and then he kind of rolled back into the pocket. I'm not sure on what of that. Does the ball have to get back to the line of scrimmage? I'm not well-versed on that. You're going to have to take a look at that.
Need to call back to our lead official commentator back at the studios for a call ruling on that one. Legate going long. Man-to-man coverage in the end zone and overthrows out of the back of the end zone intended for Dre Egypciaco. Legate launched it out of the cannon and launched it out of the back of the end zone. Uncatchable. And the Streaks were going for everything. And it brings up fourth down.
And, Jake, to answer your question, the ball was probably about 5 yards short of the first down
right
when he threw it. And no receiver. Excuse me, no receiver.
Yeah, there was nobody over there. Streak's going to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, I think at this point you're going to go for it on every fourth down, especially if you're in plus territory.
Yep, taking almost 5 minutes off the clock. Ball sitting inside the 30 at the 29. Fourth and 11 Streaks. Galesburg, 4 of 11 on fourth downs this season.
Screen.
Pressure from the backside. Throws it away, coming back for the catch made by Dre Egypciaco on the far sideline, but a good 5 yards short of the first down if he was even in bounds when he caught it. I have not seen an official signal.
No, they said incomplete.
He was out of bounds? Okay.
We may
Tristan
have,
was under a ton of pressure.
Yeah, things
and
may
he's
have gone,
hurt again.
Gone from bad to worse here.
Yep, he's
Tristan
down on his back now.
Tried to get up. He's not able to stay up, holding the lower back.
So the Streaks give it up on downs with 7:03 to play in the third quarter, trailing 20-0. And this game will come to a stop while they check out Tristan Legate down on his back at the 42-yard line. We'll take a break. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
When you're talking about any kind of building project, you can't just walk outside and start digging. But you can call Courtright Construction right now and get on top of their list. Site prep is one of their specialties. Trust the pros at Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by local State Farm agent John Hawkinson, offering home, auto, and life policies to fit your budget and lifestyle. By Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Topkin Street in downtown Galesburg.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
7:03 to play in the third quarter. We are at Browning Field in Moline. Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, Jake Miller with you. Will Stevenson, our broadcast engineer. 20-0 is the Moline Maroons lead. And Tristan Legate still down on the field, on his back, now being helped up. At least he's sitting up. And definitely trying to catch his breath. It looks like he's just laboring to just catch his breath. But even when he stands up, he can't even stand up straight. So now he's helped up on his feet and very, very gingerly walking off the field. It's not a leg injury. It's something in the upper body that came not on the last play when he got rid of the ball, but the shot he took two plays earlier.
So you know, the hit he just had was not as big, but I'm sure it was felt
added
differently.
To it, yeah. Sure, yeah. So 7:03 is where we are in the third quarter. And he hasn't sat down over there. Is that Brandon talking to him? Brandon Terrell, the Streaks trainer?
Yeah, Brandon's over there. Okay. Kobe Ramirez is over there right now.
So back to offense for Moline and whistles as they get the play underway. And that'll be a false start. So first offensive play of the second half. After 9 penalties in the first half, Moline picks up a 5-yarder to start the second half, and they'll back it up to the 24. This will be at this rate. I mean, they're not there yet, but they're bordering on 100 yards of penalties.
Yep.
Which would be the second week in a row. All right, first and 15. 7 minutes to go, third quarter. Hunter Davina creeping up on the left side. They run that direction. Keep it on the inside. Fuller picks up 11 up to the 36-yard line, and he's 3 to 4 yards short of a first down. Once Davina got closed off on the outside and he cut upfield through that hole, there weren't a lot of defenders back there.
No, and that's kind of the nature.
Vision. Yeah.
And it's the nature of what we're doing defensively right now with essentially 6 guys on the line of scrimmage. That only leaves 2 linebackers left. You break through there, and it's could be long sailing.
Second and 3. Fuller to the left side, and nowhere to go that time. Run into Jeremiah Morris, I believe. At least one of them in on the tackle. They're going to mark him a yard short of the first down. It'll be 3rd and 1.
But I've said this many times before, is the person who made that play was Hunter Davina.
Yeah.
He didn't make the tackle, but he set the edge, allowing the interior guys to come back and make the play. So Hunter Davina did not make the play, but he still made the play because he allowed his teammates to come and do that. He could have gotten blocked out, created a big hole. The guy cuts up the sideline. He gets more yards.
Moline 3 for 3 on third downs tonight. Now they're 4 for 4, crossing the 40 to the 41 before the play stopped, pushed backwards.
Oh,
and now a flag comes in. I think we're going to have personal foul penalty on the Silver Streaks for basically just finishing off the tackle.
Yeah, there was nothing nefarious about that. That was just finishing up. They hadn't blown the whistle yet. Man, these guys.
Was it Xavier, I think it was?
Yeah, Xavier Van Dyke is who they're going to get.
Bit of a lampoon cheer from the Moline home crowd who's seen their home team get whistled for a bunch of penalties tonight, and now a 3rd 15-yarder of the night against the Silver Streaks. So it takes a gain of 3 and a first down conversion, a third down conversion into Galesburg territory by the time they walk off 15 more.
That's disappointing. I mean, you play through the whistle. You play, I mean, he's already taking the guys, moving it back, they blow the whistle, and then he takes them back and drops the flag right on top of them.
So it moves to the Galesburg 44-yard line. To the right side, bouncing to the outside, Fuller, and a nice open field tackle by Mikey Eicher on the dive. And now Fuller is slow to get up.
Yeah, his ankle did not look good.
Yeah, that looked a little awkward there, didn't it?
Yep.
Mikey going low.
And now we're going to have another stoppage of play as they're going to check out Fuller, and I think he's going to be down for a bit. So let's take another timeout. 5:22 to go in the third quarter, 20-0 Moline. And while we're at break, Jake will steal a glance over and check on Tristan Legate also as they check out Fuller here on the near sideline on the Moline side. and they're helping him up. Quick timeout, 5:22 to go in the third quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL.
The used car market is crazy right now. Many times, trade-ins are already sold right after they hit the lot. This is Sarah Yem. One of the biggest demands is for our budget vehicles at $15,000 or less. Like a 2014 Volkswagen Jetta, just over $13,300. A 2014 Ford Fiesta, just over $11,100. And a 1995 Pontiac Firebird Coupe. Yem budget price, just over $10,300. So stop in soon at Yem. North Henderson Street, Galesburg.
Tax title license stock fee extra.
Tune in for the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show weekdays at 11 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Riley Fuller for Moline helped off the field. He was just off the Moline sideline, so they were able to get him off the field fairly quickly. Still checking him out on the bench.
Yeah.
We think that's going to be a pretty serious injury. They ran a play for Sibley, and that'll be negated by a hold. So Moline over 100 yards in penalties now. Jake, any thoughts on Tristan based on what you're observing over there?
We might see him. I don't know. He's sore in the lower back area. I just talked to him on the break. He's sore. They're checking on him. I don't know. The game might be out of reach, but.
Rolling right on the second down play into the numbers of nice Bailey hit. And a big hit by Mikey Eicher right as the catch was made, and he pops the ball loose on the tackle, and Mikey gets some big helmet slaps on that big hit. Incomplete, third down.
The defense right now showing some real spirit out there. Yep. We've seen some big hits, some sure tackles. They're out there still flying around and still trying to make this thing a ball game. Back to Tristan again. Yes. The trainer's still looking at him. He's still stretching things out. He hasn't left the sideline by any means. We'll see. You know, I think it's going to be a coaching staff decision. Tristan, I'm certain, is going to be a guy who still wants to get into play. It's going to be how effective can he be.
Third and 20, Moline back at the Maroons' 45-yard line, leading 20-0 with under 5 minutes to play in the game. Here comes the Streaks blitz. Up the middle it goes for very little gain. Maybe a yard. On the carry by Perez, and Moline will punt for the second time in the game. So the defense responds. Moline, 15 yards in penalties again on that possession. And this time it does help stall their drive, and it brings up a punt.
You know, I like the spirit of our defense there. You know, we could have thought, oh, boy, what do we do now? Quarterback's injured. We don't know if he's going to be able to come out and kind of give up. No, we came out with a lot of fight there. And, you know, pushed him back and get four and out. It's about fourth down and 20 to go. So here we are with a nice punt return.
Good punt. Aguirre with the depth, the 25, and the run back across the 40.
In case you're wondering,
short of the 45.
I think you're going to see Geno Williams would be the Streaks backup quarterback. Uh-huh. And it looks to me, with Tristan still helmet off, as the offense heads on the field, I think we're going to watch Geno Williams out here. Going to get a shot at this thing. Maybe a little more mobile. Than Tristan, not the arm that we know Tristan has. Let's see. Is there going to be a spark? You know, sometimes that happens. You bring a backup in, and sometimes things get moving in a different way.
And we talked in the first half about the success that we've seen from our JV team, and this is the quarterback that's had the three wins in a row here for us. So different look here coming out with Geno Williams.
Streaks will go on the ground. Aguirre gets to the outside. Here comes the closing linebackers, and the tackle made at the 50. Looked like it was going to go for more. It was actually the defensive back who chased down Aguirre.
Nice angle.
Picked up five.
Real nice angle to close on that.
Geno Williams, 5'11", 155-pound sophomore, in at the moment for Tristan Legate. And Aguirre with a pickup of six on first down. Good start. Back into Moline territory at the 49. And one of Aguirre's bigger runs of the night. 10th carry for just 23 yards. In fact, that was his biggest run of the night. Second and four, 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes, and counting in the third quarter. Streaks down 20. Out of the gun. Williams with a handoff. Aguirre running right. Tries to cut upfield and runs right into two Moline defenders. Back this side of the 50 for a loss of two.
Something was wrong there, Jake. I don't know what exactly it was.
I don't either, but when you're running at the line of scrimmage and there's three unblocked Moline defenders, that's a tough ask for your running back there. So I don't know what happened, but we had some missed assignments on the outside there for sure.
It looked like it was maybe supposed to be the shovel pass coming to the press box side to Nolan Carl. Okay. And Gino kind of hit his chest because Nolan was coming toward us and kind of had his hands out like, where's the ball?
Right.
So if we're supposed to be blocking something different, we give the area that we're blocking away from, yeah, we're going to have some defenders coming through.
Third and five, fumble on the ball, and nothing but Moline jerseys there. Fumble on the handoff, and Moline jumps on it back at the Galesburg 48-yard line.
Yeah, he was pulling that. I think he was going to try to run it.
So second turnover of the game for the Silver Streaks. Gives the ball back to Moline, leading 20-0 with 2:34 to go, 2:32 to go in the third quarter, and the Maroons have it on the Galesburg side of the field at the 48.
Now, these kinds of things are, you know, are more likely to happen as you got a backup in here handing footballs off to guys who's probably not used to doing that, the speed of a varsity football game for the first time. All kinds of things can go wrong. Unfortunately, it did there.
Sterling has put the game away with Rock Island, now up 21 with a minute 20 to go in that game, 56-35. Rolling out, the pass play to the right, complete to Matthew Bailey. Mikey Eicher, been in a lot of tackles in this game, and he makes another one there at the 40.
Mikey and Javion just sure-handed out there. And it's a pair of corners that are better tacklers. I haven't seen all season. These guys get it done.
So it goes as a gain of 8.
It's a good sign over here in the sideline to see Fuller up and walking at least. His shoe is off and he's moving. So as we were concerned about what
second and two, here's a
good
loss.
Good job defense again.
Handoff to Perez and pressure in the backfield by Nolan Carl on the tackle. And Perez will be tackled for a loss. And it'll go from second and two back to third and four. Yes, that's very good news for Riley Fuller. And certainly not what we want to see in any high school game for either side. Real concern with that injury on the tackle the Streaks made. So actually it goes as more of a loss like 3 back to the 43. So 3rd and 5. Handoff up the middle. Perez with a good head of steam. Drag the Streaks defender inside the 35 for a first down to the 32. He picks up 11.
Looked like Xavier Van Dyke, the one along for the ride on that. Yep. Unfortunately, getting drug in the wrong direction.
And we roll down to a minute to go in the third quarter and counting, 20-0. The Moline lead. Looking for more.
Is that Moline's first down this half?
No.
Okay. My point is that our defense is playing very well this half.
Much better.
Yes.
Play fake, rolling left, Ponder throws off his back foot, downfield, and Bailey had a chance at it, but it's incomplete at the 2. And Ponder took a little bit of a hit at the end of the play, and he's helped up. Incomplete second down. He'll stay in the game. Well, bends over for a bit, catches his breath. Clock stops, 40 seconds to go, third quarter. Second down from the Galesburg 32. Amazing that he gets off that kind of throw, backpedaling and throwing off his back foot the way he did. Still threw it 30 yards downfield. And Bailey had a chance, but it was just a little out of his grasp.
Yeah, he had separation on Javion.
On the ground this Hands time. Second down, trying to get to the outside, Christian Rea.
Javion again.
Streaks with pursuit. And they make the stop at the 25-yard line for a gain of 7. That brings up 3rd and 3 with 27 seconds to go in the third quarter.
Cannon Klein with great pursuit inside out there, too, from the inside backer position. That's a long ways to go for an inside backer to really track down that hand sweep.
Only the second carry of the night for Christian Rea.
Well, if our linebackers are reading guards, the guards are going to take him right to the play, too.
That'll be the quarter.
Yep.
Nice
no
quarter.
Score.
Yep,
scoreless quarter. 20-0 Moline after 3 at Browning Field. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football with the fourth quarter coming up on WGIL.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on South Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg and by Templeton Roofing. Call Templeton Roofing when your roof matters. Learn more at templetonroofing.com.
At RP Lumber, we got you covered. Cabinetry, countertops, flooring, and fixtures. We'll help you pick the products that fit your style to your budget and deliver everything right to your home. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com. RP Lumber. Think twice, call once.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Three quarters gone from Browning Field at Moline. 20-0 is the Maroons' lead. And they face 3rd-and-4 coming out of the quarter break from the Galesburg 26. Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey with you from the press box. Jake Miller from the sideline. Will Stevenson from the broadcast studio. Happy to be with you for Galesburg High School football. Got a late start here tonight after a lengthy freshman game. We kicked off a little over an hour late as we approach the 10 o'clock hour and ready to start the fourth quarter. 3rd-and-4 Moline, up the middle, the fullback, and a first down to the 15-yard line. They handed it off to Gavin Grace, who's picked up some hard-earned yards on the ground, including a touchdown run earlier in the game, and he moves the chains just inside the 15 for a gain of 11.
I don't know, that just looked a little bit to me, Sean, like some fatigue hitting us up front, all right? A tough
looked
quarter
awfully
here.
Easy, didn't it?
Yeah, it looked like, I mean, a real tough quarter for the Streaks defensively, done very well. Got a guy standing up, playing high.
On the ground again, back to Grace, inside the 10, close to the 5-yard line where the tackle is made by Hunter Davina. Be a yard short of the first down.
Moline now going to their biggest back in the backfield, and he's finding a lot of room to run right now at this point. Jeremiah Morris going to come in, hopefully to turn that around.
Well, we commented earlier in the game, we weren't out of the first quarter, and 9 different players had been involved on offense of some sort. It's just a lot of weapons as they jump off here, and that'll be a 5-yard penalty against Moline. So they'll back it up from 2nd-and-1 to 2nd-and-6.
They're going to talk about this.
Oh, here we go.
These guys.
Okay, we'll wait. I won't mark it down for them yet. There's a conversation.
Yep, that's on us.
Yep, sure enough. So that'll be a first down. First and goal for Moline to the 3. That's the second time we've seen the Streaks get called for that?
Yes. Both. Oh, you got one in the back. Another flag in back here.
Oh, sure enough.
Here comes another penalty.
Yeah, one down in the end zone, one down back at the 12-yard line.
I think he was talking to Nolan Carl there.
Yep.
Spot the ball at the 3. Now they're going to talk over the next penalty. So 11:05 to play in the game. 20-0 is the Moline lead. And they've got a first and goal from where? Well, that's the same call that he just made on the previous one.
Next one on sportsmanlike.
There's the unsportsmanlike conduct.
So they call the first one like an illegal participation for us yelling shift to simulate the snap count. Then you get the unsportsmanlike, which is also just half the distance. So the penalty itself, yardage-wise, it's only going to be a couple yards.
Yep. About a yard and a half, actually.
Yeah.
So a 15-yard penalty turns into just one, but it's first and goal Moline from the 2.
Coach Blackwell asking for an explanation here, probably about the shift, because we know when we move, we say shift, and they said that we were simulating. Well, they're going under center here. Okay, we have 2 officials not in the game.
Yeah, now he's coming in there. The Moline players were ready to snap the ball and go, and the back judge had to come in and say, hold on, fellas, we're not ready to go yet. So 11:05 is where we sit.
This might be about the time we get out of here.
Haven't seen a final from Quincy and Geneseo yet. The other games are final. UT over Alleman, no surprise. Sterling over Rock Island. Abingdon Avon defeats Princeville 18-7.
Keep getting there, Jake. What are you hearing? Jake's about 8 yards away.
He's trying. Long conversation over there between the referee and is that one of the line judges over there talking it over with Coach Blackwell?
Side judge and the umpire.
Catching the conversation here.
Are you picking up enough of it at all?
Oh, yeah, I got a good chunk of it. The Coach Blackwell makes a point that we yell shift, we move shift. We've been doing it for 7 weeks. And the official says, you haven't been called on it yet? And Derek says, only once. And the official tells him, well, then that's a shame, and you should write up every officiating crew that hasn't called it on you because what you're doing is illegal.
Wow.
I don't agree.
First and goal from the two, touchdown. They go right back to Grace, who goes in easily. Meanwhile, down at Quincy, it's a 23-22 game. Quincy on top. That was as of 6 minutes ago. Here it's 26-0 Moline. So after the Galesburg fumble, Moline takes over at the 48-yard line. Eight plays, and they now lead by four touchdowns. Extra point. The kick is inside the left upright. 27-0 Maroons will take a timeout. From Browning Field, you're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com and on your TuneIn radio app.
Oh, good. It's my favorite time of year.
Pumpkin spice latte season.
No, it's get dark early season. Or I can't go anywhere because I can't see at night season.
Here's an idea. Why don't you get that checked out at Kehoe?
Feel like you can't see when you drive at night? The experts at Kehoe Eye Care use state-of-the-art technology to determine the cause of your night blindness. Get the help you deserve with an appointment at Kehoe Eye Care in Galesburg or Monmouth.
At Kehoe Eye Care, we care for people, not just eyes.
It sounds good on AM, but sounds even better on FM. 93.7 FM, 1400 AM, WGIL.
Thanks for being with us for Silver Streaks Football here on WGIL. Galesburg Radio 14 from Browning Field in Moline. Brad Vinowitz, Jake Miller on the sideline, Sean Hickey alongside here in the press box. Moline engineers a nine-play scoring drive, again coming after the Galesburg fumble. 48 yards. They take 3 minutes and 45 seconds off the clock. Two-yard touchdown run by Gavin Grace, his second of the night. And it's 27-0 after the extra point by Caroline Hazen, who has the ball teed up at the 40, ready to kick this one underway. 10:47 to play in the game here on Moline's homecoming. Looking to go 5-0 in the conference and remain tied with Sterling for first place at the top of the league. Kickoff short to Mikey Eicher at the 30. Returns it to the 40. Now tries to return back toward the middle of the field. Still on his feet. Slips a tackle there. Now returning back to the 40. Up to the 45-yard line. Slips another tackle at the 50. Far sideline down to the Moline 35-yard line.
Good effort there by Mikey to keep his motor going.
Yeah, a lot of fight left.
Yeah, keep his fight. You know, looking around and trying to find, make something happen. And he was able to.
Well, you know, if the Silver Streaks can move this downfield and get it into the end zone, that's the kind of play there that we look at as a candidate for Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time play of the game.
Yeah, and look at a way of ending that shutout run for Moline.
You betcha.
Let's go. Let's get the ball in the end zone.
16 quarters now for Moline. 13 coming into the night. Shut out the Streaks for three quarters here. Galesburg going to start the drive at the Moline 37-yard line, which is where they spot it after the run back by Eicher.
Double tight, double bone. Here we go with Damian Thomas coming in to finish out the bone formation.
Geno Williams still in at quarterback after the injury to Tristan Legate. Cam McGuire gets to the outside, goes to the far sideline. Tackle made inside the Moline 35 to about the 32. Nice gain on first down. It'll be second and somewhere in the vicinity of five. Where are they going to spot it exactly? Actually, only going to give him four.
Give him about four. Yeah, I mean, at least this is another formation that certainly Gino's going to be familiar with, something that I'm sure that he's running on Monday nights. Understand these offensive play calls here. The playbook is absolutely, you know, probably, you know, cut somewhat, maybe not in half, but it's cut down.
Quincy holds on to defeat Geneseo 23-22. Hand off Aguirre again. Got a first down. Tackle made inside the Moline 25-yard line. And a nice run by Aguirre picks up nine down to the 24. And that is his biggest run of the night.
That's been tough sledding tonight for Cam, not something we normally see.
Yeah. 13 carries, 35 yards tonight. Coming off last week, 145 yards and 29 carries and three touchdowns against Rock Island. Career high. 9.5 minutes to go in the game here. Streaks trying to dent the scoreboard. Down 27-0 out of the wishbone. And another fumble on the exchange. Looks like the Streaks are able to come back and tackle and fall on that one. Although Moline claiming that they have the ball. And
signaled it.
They do. And they do.
Hand off there, Jake, on a cross lead.
Yeah.
Ball never really made it to the stomach.
It just didn't look like, did he get the snap? I couldn't see from my angle. It looked like maybe the snap was mishandled a little bit, throwing the timing off and just the mesh and the cross leads and all that. Guys going in different directions and the ball ends up on the ground.
No, the snap was there.
The snap was fine.
Snap was there.
It just looked like he didn't get out from under center in, like, the proper time, you know.
The second turnover by the Streaks. Late third quarter, now early fourth quarter, down 27-0. Moline keeps it on the ground. And a big push forward, and it takes five Silver Streaks jerseys to bring the play to a stop, but not until they get to the 41-yard line on a big run by Pablo Perez.
You know, I don't know how many plays Moline has run on offense. It obviously vastly outnumbers what the Streaks offense has been able to do, and this defense has been out there a long time. It's, yeah. You know, they have given Moline's offense what it, in the last few weeks, has put up, you know, 160-some-odd points. They've given them more than what Moline has seen. It's just, you know, at this point, we're running into a numbers game, and these guys out here are out there a lot of plays.
I count this being the 49th play from scrimmage for Moline. First down from the 41, up the middle. Perez again, trying to get away from the ankle tackle down low by Van Dyke, I think, who was at least able to hold on, and then the tackle made a couple yards short of the first down. Clock rolling toward the 8-minute mark of the fourth quarter. Streak shut out 27-0 up to this point. Moline approaching midfield, trying to add to the lead. Looking for their fifth straight conference win. And again, to stay tied with Sterling atop the Western Big Six. Handoff. Perez again. First down. Galesburg 45. Down inside to the 43-yard line. Boy, some of those Streaks defenders just look tired just getting up off the turf. You can understand why.
I tell you what, now seeing both teams play and seeing what you know, the Streaks have done against both, I know who I'd favor in that game next week. I think Moline, just, you know, the penalties tonight is something they can correct, but they don't turn the ball over. They can do a lot of different things offensively. They're gonna be a tough road for any team in the Big Six.
On the ground again to Perez. Another first down. Still on his feet. Into the secondary. Finally dragged down at the 20-yard line of Galesburg. A pickup of 23 more. And, of course, we saw Sterling play the week after they lost their starting quarterback the previous week late in the game. So what we saw of Sterling that night, we're pretty confident, was not the Sterling that's probably playing right now, the Sterling to put up 50-plus on Rock Island tonight. So
yeah, not on offense, but on defense.
Yes.
Correct.
I agree. So Perez picks up 23. He's over 100 yards rushing now, so they have 200-yard rushers on the night. They're going to go on the little end-around, and that goes as a loss in the backfield behind the 20. Tried to get the man coming in from the outside, and nowhere to go for Sibley. Who loses a couple. Second and 12.
Noah right in there on that tackle, making the first contact.
And maintaining the,
yep,
you know,
holding on.
Yep, held on, made a tackle for a loss. Nice play.
And a loss of three, actually. Second and 13, back at the 23-yard line, approaching the midpoint of quarter number four. Back to Perez, right side, hit, keeps on his feet, moves forward inside the 15-yard line where the stop is made. Actually, that was Mason Woods on the carry. He hasn't carried the ball since the first quarter. They just have such change of pace with their different backs. And he picks up 9 to the 13. for Mason Woods. First carry, as we said, since the first quarter. His sixth of the night for 28 yards. Third and 13. Woods again to the right side. Hit in the backfield, but then dives forward, carrying the defender inside the 10, close to the 8.
Going to give him a first down.
That's a first and goal. So Moline now on that third down conversion, 7 for 8 tonight. Well, that can't be right. They punted twice. 7 for 9. First and goal from the 8. And a timeout by Moline. 5:15 to go in the game, 27-0. Moline on top. Take a timeout as well. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
Don't let getting your hands on building materials be the thing that keeps you from landing that next big job. RP Lumber has the hardware, tools, and building materials to help you knock out one project after another. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com. RP Lumber, we keep you building.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by the UPS Store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg, and by Bradley Hicks, Century 21 affiliated. Morning, noon, nights, or weekends, Bradley Hicks will help you find your dream home.
Start your day with the WGIL Morning Brief. Read local news headlines on your desktop or mobile device. It's free. Subscribe now at WGIL.com.
...27-0 Moline. 5:15 to go in the game here at Browning Field. First and goal, Maroons from the Galesburg 8-yard line. Give a little bit more on that Quincy Geneseo game here in just a moment. Here's the play. Ponder comes up under center, lost the ball, and goes backward, dives for it at the 15. So they'll lose 7 on the play. That's the second fumble they've had tonight, but they've recovered both of them. So Geneseo rallied back. Got within 23-22 of Quincy, and we said with a little under 5 minutes to go in that game. And all we know is that they didn't get the extra point, and we didn't know how.
Right.
They went for two. On the road at Quincy, they went for two to get the lead, and they did not make it. And that's how they ended up losing 23-22.
Mm.
Interesting call, especially with 5 minutes to go in the game. Hand off to Woods to the right side. Not much of a gain inside the 15 to the 13.
What's Genesee's record going into tonight?
They were 3-3.
Yeah.
And so was Quincy.
Gotcha.
Sorry, no, Quincy was 2-4. So Quincy and UT are now 2-3 in the conference with the Silver Streaks about to fall to that record in 4 minutes and 10 seconds. Third and goal here. After the gain of 2. Third and goal from the Galesburg 13. Streaks creeping up to the line of scrimmage. Back to pass. Throwing it up for grabs. Man-to-man coverage.
Nice coverage.
And Javion Beckham there just bats it away. Intended into the corner for Grant Raber. And it's fourth and goal.
The receiver actually had some distance on him, but the ball was underthrown. And Javion is able to recover and make a nice play.
Yeah, too much loft on that one.
It was.
So Javion was able to use his speed and get back underneath that.
Just kind of threw it up as a jump ball. And
didn't need to.
Nope.
Got to run the field goal unit out here.
All right, so Caroline Hazen will kick it from the 20, a 30-yard field goal attempt.
Yep.
Again, quiet night weather-wise. Humid, heavy air. Streaks had a field goal attempt earlier. They put the rush on. She gets it away, and it hits the crossbar and comes up short. May have hit right in the corner where the crossbar and the upright come together. And just came up short. So two field goal attempts tonight, both unsuccessful. One for the Streaks earlier in the first half, one for Moline here, and the score remains 27-0.
Moline's had two. Remember, she had one. No, sorry, that was a PAT. You're right.
It was a PAT.
PAT
yeah.
She missed, yeah.
So the Streaks take over at the 20. 3:48 to go in the game. Still hoping to put some points on the board and end Moline's shutout streak. They've shut out their last three opponents coming into the game, plus a scoreless fourth quarter in the Quincy game prior to that. So they have 16 consecutive scoreless quarters and a matter of pride for this Moline defense to keep it going. And Geno Williams still in at quarterback for the Streaks. Aguirre on the handoff, gets to the outside. Little bit of room to run. Got the first down. Still on his feet. And finally taken down across the 35-yard line. Just short of the 40 at about the 38.
But going back to our defense, what a victory there for us. You know, that Moline put together a drive like they did. Got down into position. Defense held up. And then to not execute the field goal and put no points on the board. So despite of all what Moline was able to do there, they came away with nothing.
And what you're seeing us doing offensively, there are no clean jerseys out there on the Moline defense. These
Correct.
Are guys, these are still their guys as they value that scoreless streak.
You betcha.
So if we score here, it'll be against their starters.
Had a similar situation in the UT game last week. As the handoff goes right for a short gain. Is that Amari Richardson?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Amari's first carry of the night. Picks up two. And UT had the ball progressing deep into Moline territory. And it was just one of those situations where the game was out of reach. Moline had it well in hand, but the defense stiffened up and just denied UT to get into the end zone to keep that shutout streak alive. It's second and eight here for the Streaks from the 39. Trailing 27-0 with 3 minutes to go in the game. Williams, the sophomore quarterback, in place of Legate, brings the team set. He'll keep it on the left side, trying to get to the outside, and he regrets keeping it as he's taken back at the 34-yard line for a loss of five.
You know, he does bring that little added dimension. You know, he is more mobile than Tristan, but you know, it's just a little different game speed right now.
Oh, no doubt about that.
For him to get used to, and you got a slow track, and you know, he right now he's got two fumbles he's thinking about. I've been in this spot. Like I know what he's there's a lot of things going through his head right now.
You know, we said it earlier, and I agree completely that I think that Moline is the best team in conference, and so we're putting him out there to go against us, and he's thinking, oh, I'm going to keep the ball. These guys are running fast.
Third and 13. Back to pass. Oh. Williams hit. And he hangs on to the ball, I think.
Yeah,
either
he
way,
did.
Streaks are going to have to punt as he's taken down back at the 30, maybe the 29-yard line.
Yeah, he dropped it.
Did he?
Just lucky
I thought I saw the beanbag get thrown in there.
Yeah, he dropped it, and it just luckily, it just the way he was tackled, it bounced right back up into his hands, able to hold possession there. So you'll see a punt here, and then you're going to see probably two knees, and that should do things tonight.
Oh, wow.
Oh, there was movement at the line. I don't see a flag, and Hunter gets off a not very good kick, and he's talking to the official.
Rightfully so.
The Streaks are going to down it at the 43-yard line. There's a big, big boy. Looked like he jumped off sides. Caleb Singleton, listed at 6'2", 320.
Yeah, he's played nose all game.
I don't know who should have been flagged, but somebody should have been. I don't know if the Streaks moved or if they got into the neutral zone, but there should have been a flag of some sort.
It was them.
I thought so. So Moline takes over with a minute 18 to go in the game. The shutout streak intact. And as Jake said, they'll just have to take a knee a couple of times. And they will go to 5-0 on the season. They have it at the 43-yard line over what has been a long night of football. A freshman game that ran really long. They're going to run the play instead of just taking a knee.
Yeah, it's a whole different offense.
It's a different offense.
There.
Yep. They subbed out wholesale.
Yep. Yep. They've got A.J. Jones back in at quarterback. Perez still in the game, though. Got the handoff.
24.
Picked up three. His 15th carry of the night for 110. Second and seven from the 46. 50 seconds and counting. Streaks again will fall to 2-5 on the season, 2-3 in conference play. They get it to Woods. Hit in the backfield. Stays on his feet. Spins out of another tackle at the first down marker and falls across the Galesburg 45 to the 44. And they'll stop the clock to move the chains. 28 seconds to play. And a first down, Moline from the 44.
They won't blow this in, and they will not need to run a play. Doesn't mean that they won't, but it looks like they will not.
Yep, clock's ticking down. Players are kind of meandering their way off the field.
Yep, that's it. 27-0, the final. Moline wins it. They're 6-1, 5-0 in the conference. Silver Streaks drop to, again, 2-5 and 2-3 in conference play. 27-0, the final. Postgame show coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
WGIL, proudly connecting you to Galesburg.
Hi, I'm Nick Isher from WGIL with this reminder for the Little Ghouls and Goblins. You're invited to Discovery Depot Saturday, October 23rd from 11:30 to 2:30 to make your very own Jar-O-Lanterns. You can pick from a ghost, pumpkin, or Frankenstein. The cost is just $1.50 with admission, so don't miss out on this spooky good time. Learn more on the community events page at WGIL.com.
This public service message is proudly presented by the local staff and management and ownership at WGIL. Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Yam Auto Group on North Henderson and Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yam. By Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. By Clear Sound Hearing in Galesburg and Monmouth, providing innovative hearing solutions. Set an appointment for a free evaluation and hear what you've been missing. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by RP Lumber. Best service, best value. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. And by Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm, providing great insurance rates on bundled auto, home, and life policies. Call today for the right policy and save money. A dense fog advisory is in effect until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning for Knox, Peoria, and Stark counties. Partly cloudy with dense fog tonight, a low of 59. Partly sunny tomorrow, a high of 81. Cloudy 66 tomorrow night, sunny and 84 Sunday. Right now it's 61 at WGIL.
With the final stats, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, and comments from Streaks head coach Derek Blackwell, WGIL's coverage of Galesburg High School football continues with the Silver Streaks postgame show on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.
Final score from Moline, 27-0. The Maroons win, and it was just they had the other big six scores on the scoreboard over there. Did I see that Alleman did score after all?
Every time I could look over there, they put the schedule up for Moline.
I think it's at 48-7, so that would indicate Alleman did at least score for the second time this year. Here tonight, the Streaks do not score, though, and Moline's shutout streak is intact. Galesburg now 2-5 on the season. They dropped to 2-3 in the Western Big Six. And some concern about Tristan Legate after going out of the game with the injury. So we'll see how that plays out with two games remaining. Two very winnable games for the Silver Streaks. UT did snap that three-game losing streak. They started with a three-game winning streak and lost three in a row. And Alleman was good medicine for him. Yep, the scoreboard does show 48-7. And those are the Streaks' last two opponents of the season. Quincy held off Geneseo and Sterling, put up 56 and a 21-point win over Rock Island as well. So that keeps that big game coming up next week at Sterling between these Moline Maroons and Sterling, and the winner will be in first place in the Western Big Six Conference. They both go in at 5-0. So we'll be watching that one closely, but again, Silver Streaks with hopes for two victories to end the season in winnable games next week with UT and then to wrap up the season at Alleman. Of course, final home game of the year coming up next week with UT coming into town as well. So, you know, some questions to be answered as the team starts to, you know, kind of begin putting things into place for next week in terms of personnel, Streaks did not have their starting center here tonight because of an injury. Of course, now questions about Tristan Legate. Alex Egyptiaco did not play tonight. And, you know, that personnel could make a difference depending on their ability to come back for next week or not. And certainly that would shape how practice would look depending on the health of those players and who would be available and who might not be available. Our post-game coaches interview brought to you by RP Lumber. Best service, best value. Coach Derek Blackwell has made his way over to Jake Miller. Let's find out the coach's thoughts here tonight. Jake?
All right, I got Coach here tonight. And, Coach, let's start, you know, the second half, a much better score in terms of, you know, a second half 7-0 game. Defensively, the spirit that you guys show in the second half is something that we talked about all night. Defensively is definitely the strong suit of our game. What was it Moline was doing offensively that seemed to just kind of grind us down tonight?
Moline, they just did what they always do. They run the ball, and they run the ball well. At first, I think that we weren't being as physical as we could be. We went in at halftime. We challenged them to be more physical, and it showed up in the second half. I was proud of them the way they played in the second half. We just need to find a way to have the same energy all four quarters. It seems like we're having the same conversation every game. It's like we played good a half, we played good three quarters. We need to play good for four quarters.
Offensively tonight, obviously it was tough going. You know, I think around 70 yards of total offense tonight. But it's certainly something that, you know, we start talking about. You know, it's not something you're going to use it as an excuse, but we have a center out. You have a running back out. We see our quarterback go down. You know, at some point, I think some of that attrition is going to definitely take hold. Tonight, Moline, a solid defensive unit, were they doing something scheme-wise, or was it just a physicality difference in between what they had going on up front and what we had?
I really don't think it was much physicality. I think we matched the physicality. It was just they're a good defense. They haven't let anybody score for four games now, so it's not like we're in the same boat as everybody else in the Big Six with those guys. So Moline's just playing really well right now. Tip the hat to Moline.
So we've had a couple losses that have been close. Tonight, really the only game of the season where you know, we weren't able to find a way to make it close, at least at the end. Did the conversation tonight, now that the finality of the playoffs, does that change the approach coming into the next couple weeks without out of the picture? Is it something that you start building and finding ways to move the program forward? Or do we just keep continuing making the same, you know, strides with your guys week in and week out, regardless of whether the playoffs are in the future or not?
We'll just keep doing the same things. Yes, we have to look forward, and I don't think we look past the senior group. They've put so much into this program, and they have started the foundation of physical play and showing up every day and doing all the right things. I know the record doesn't show that, but every day I see the same kids. They come in with smiles on their faces regardless of what's happening. They play hard. They practice hard. They do everything I ask, and I feel bad for the kids right now that's out of the question.
Coach, the final thing, there was a weird situation there at the end of the first half where we saw the officials call you guys, the head coaches, out on the field. We don't see that very often. You know, without being too specific, what was your take on what that situation was about?
The game was getting a little chippy. I mean, I don't encourage those things, but that's how football is. It's always going to get chippy. It's a physical game, and guys talk a little bit. It was said that there was some remarks on the sideline over there said, and then the refs said they asked the player if he said it, and he didn't admit to it, so they didn't throw a flag up. Yeah, right. So yeah, exactly.
I got you. Of course he wouldn't. All right. Well, Coach, again, I appreciate you coming out and speaking to me, and we'll be, you know, two more weeks, and we have a home game, a final home game as of the season, as we have UT coming to our place next week. I know you haven't looked at that or anything, or looked ahead probably. Do you want to speak to just, you know, what kind of a crowd we want to get in and what you expect our guys to show up and do with a UT team coming in next week?
I would encourage the whole community and the whole town of Galesburg to show up at at Van Dyke Stadium or F&M Stadium in Van Dyke Field. It's a good show we put on. We play defense, we play good offense, and it's probably the best show in town on Friday night. There's probably nowhere else to be other than maybe the movie theater, but come on and watch the football.
I agree. These kids deserve it. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Thanks, as always, to Coach Derek Blackwell for joining us here in the postgame. Take a timeout, come back, look at our postgame statistics. We also have to give you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. 27-0, Moline wins it. More to come on the postgame on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Gah! What happened with Wentworth's collision repair? I told him you better call Dave's. Dave's Auto Body, but that repair looks like a Hollywood actor with bad Botox and a weird facelift. Dave's doesn't dink around with cheap knockoffs. They restore to factory specs, and his techs get continuing primo training. And Dave's lifetime warranty beats the boogers out of the wannabe Dave shops. Hey, kids, here comes Wentworth again.
Dave's Auto Body.
Now try not to stare.
You better call Dave.
Hey, Wentworth, are you crying?
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by local State Farm agent John Hawkinson, offering home, auto, and life policies to fit your budget and lifestyle. By Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg.
Tune in for Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays at 2 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Let's run through our postgame statistics quickly as the Moline Maroons win at 27-0. Our postgame statistics brought to you by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. Two different running backs ran for over 100 yards for the Moline Maroons tonight. Pablo Perez, 15 carries for 110. Cranston Walt, 4 carries for 105. So 215 yards of offense just for those two guys. Another 100 yards of offense between Riley Fuller, 11 carries for 57 yards, and Mason Woods, 8 carries for 43 yards. So that's what, 315 yards. And you got Christian Rea, 2 carries for 9. Gavin Grace had 2 touchdown runs, 5 carries for 28 yards. And then a couple of other running backs, just a couple of sporadic carries for minimal yardage in there. So throw the extra 37 on, and we've got 352 yards on the ground for Moline. Alec Ponder, 5 for 9 passing for 58 yards and a touchdown. Matthew Bailey had 3 receptions for 33 yards, including the 18-yard touchdown. Colin Schultz and Riley Fuller had receptions as well. Moline did cut down on the penalties. 9 flags for 87 yards in the first half, penalized just twice for 15 yards in the second half. For the Silver Streaks, Cam McGuire, the leading rusher again tonight, 14 carries for a hard-earned 52 yards. Amari Richardson carried it once for 2, and Geno Williams had 2 carries for minus 11. So just 43 yards on the ground for the Silver Streaks. Tristan Legate passing tonight was 2 for 11 with an interception and 26 yards. Cam McGuire on the Cam McGuire had those 2 little toss plays to Hunter Davina for 4 yards. Davina had all the receptions tonight. Nobody else caught a ball tonight except for Hunter Davina for 30 yards. Those are our statistics. Come back for our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game and final thoughts from Moline next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Staying at home more than you'd like these days? Let RP Lumber help you make your home your happy place with our best service, best value promise. We can set you up with all the tools, hardware, and advice you need to spruce up your space. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com.
There are a lot of choices out there when you're looking for a used car. Big name programs, even really big vending machines. But around here, there's one dealership that gives you more choices and advantages that are worth their weight in gold. This is Mike Glassmith from Yum Ford. Every one of our Ford Gold Certified Pre-Owned vehicles are backed by a Ford warranty and our team of factory techs that are more familiar with your car than anyone else. Add it up, and what do you got? An excellent used car. Like a Ford Gold Certified 2019 Edge SEL, all-wheel drive, leather, loaded, only $36.9. Or a 2018 Ford Escape SEL loaded M Ford Gold Certified price is only $26,300. An excellent used car with extra confidence and a peace of mind worth its weight in gold. Come test drive a Ford Gold Certified used vehicle from M Ford, corner of West Main and Linwood Road, Galesburg.
Tax, title, license, dot extra. See dealer for details.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Final thoughts in Moline's 27-0 win over the Galesburg Silver Streaks as our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. And defense has certainly defined this team better than anything so far this season, and you know it may seem a little strange. You look at 0 points on the board, so that kind of rules out offensive guys. It would just seem obvious, but then we say, well, you know, he gave up 350 yards on the ground, but it's still defense tonight, and not because of holding them down on the scoreboard, but there were some big plays tonight that were pretty impressive at times when the Silver Streaks needed them here.
There were some big plays, and I was impressed with the big plays on the edges in terms of our tackling. I talked about it tonight, the way our cornerbacks tackle. And I think for me, you know, the thing that stuck out the most, the player actually that stuck out the most in terms of that tackling on the edge was Mikey Eicher. Mm-hmm. I think with what Mikey was doing defensively in the pass game, you know, what'd you say? Ponder was 5 for 9, and you know, coming in, you know, I know they didn't have to throw the ball, but coming in, Ponder does have those numbers. He covered the pass well, and just his ability to break off of those routes and come up and make a play, just seemed like all night we kept finding times where we were calling Mikey's name out for making a tackle on some tough runners here from Moline. So I think for that, you know, there wasn't one play that stuck out like we've had in other games tonight, just the way the ball went. But I think for that, I think Mikey Eicher is my defensive player of the night. So he would get the crunch time player of the game, in my opinion.
Well, that's exciting because we're talking about defense.
I know. Well, have to.
Yeah.
Have to.
You're
tonight.
Right.
See, what was the word in the pregame, Jake?
Boring.
Yeah. But, you know, something to add to what Mikey contributed was also two big kickoff returns that he
right,
set us
yeah.
up a good field position as well. So, actually, it's three. I'm thinking yeah. of that. It might have been three. But, so, you know, those are all complimentary things. But I also wanted to talk about the play of Damian Thomas. We called his name a lot in the first half. Not that he tapered off in the second half at all, but it really seemed like what Moline did was they adjusted a little bit and they went more outside. You know, in the first half, they were bringing more on the inside, and Damian was there making some stops. And what a team does is they say, hey, there's a guy that's really beating us, and that was Damian. And so they made some adjustments in the second half, and they went more off tackle. And that's where we were able to see Mikey come in and make some of those nice plays that he did. So, I agree. Mikey Eicher had a fantastic game.
Yep.
Covering, he had a fantastic game. The tackling, a great game with returns all around. We see that there. But certainly to give a good shout-out to a nice game, well-played game by Damian Thomas as well.
And I think if you had to pick one play that kind of defined Mikey's night defensively, was down here in the corner of the end zone where he goes up and defends man-to-man coverage and just knocks the ball away.
Yep.
All right, Mikey Eicher, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. Streaks fall 27-0. Freshman fall as well. Last up for the Silver Streaks in terms of home games is next week. As Jake talked about with Coach Blackwell, United Township comes to town. That'll be a big one in the implication of the standings. and to help Galesburg hopefully finish on a strong note with UT and Alleman wrapping up the regular season for the last two games. For Jake Miller, for Sean Hickey, for Will Stevenson at the downtown studios, I'm Brad Benowitz. Thanks for being with us for Silver Streaks Football. Good night from Browning Field.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.